much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Larry King, and I apologize for bringing you this startling information this evening, but there is some late-breaking news that I thought I should make you aware of.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
And of course, when you talk Norway and you talk curling, yeah, you talk pants.
Girl, you got them
pants.
What's going on with your pants here?
What? I don't have pants? What?
Kevin Ryder, you moron. Next time you're invited to a Halloween party, go as David Hasselhoff, you alcoholic. Don't forget your In-N-Out cheeseburgers, bitch.
And now,
Kevin, I don't want to fight. Come on, what can I do?
I don't know. Get a new face?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:35. It's Tuesday, the 18th of February.
What's, by the way, anniversary of the date that Pluto was discovered. What's crackolating, you guys? What's happening?
First of all, no one cares.
About Pluto?
About the ex-planet, right? Pluto. I mean, that's a ridiculous fact to bring up.
Wow.
That's absurd. That was a swing and a miss.
Wow, is that a crappy way to start a new week?
Yeah,
I'll tell you
that's what I'm
saying. How about a little celebration for the great Dr. Clyde Tumbaugh? What had you done by the time you were 24?
Not discover a fake planet that had to be retracted later.
After he was dead, by the way. Thank God. Thank God.
Oh, thank God for that.
How was everybody's weekend?
Good.
It was good.
I'm going to ask you the question now that everyone is going to be asking everybody all day long today, and that is, how many House of Cards did you see?
None.
What? Neither one of you guys started it this weekend?
No.
Nope.
How could you know it was sitting there on Netflix and not start it?
Well, life.
Yeah, it was actually out.
We have,
out of the house, doing things.
We do things, and we see people.
I don't understand this.
And we have... We go out to eat sometimes.
Right, but this is like a delicious meal has been delivered to your table and you're just sitting there on your phone not eating it, is what this is.
No, it's you're picturing that restaurant completely empty except for you. It's not. It's filled with people that are talking to each other.
House of Cards is on Netflix.
Right, I hear you.
Right, that's all you need to know, that you should have cleared your schedule.
Okay. All right.
I guess I did my weekend wrong.
Yeah.
I guess you
did. The whole planning thing went wrong.
Wow. Okay.
I had a lot to do this weekend. And
well,
House
so
of
did
Cards
I.
didn't figure in, though.
House did of you Cards watch was the, just number one.
Did you watch the whole season?
No, unfortunately. I didn't have that much
what?
Time. I think I'm
How
seven.
How can you
or,
know it's sitting there and not watch all of them?
I did the best I could. I think I'm seven or eight in. I mean, I did. I made an effort, at least. At least I tried. At least I don't hate America.
That's
like you guys,
it.
Apparently.
We have family and friends.
Well, I have family and
no,
friends.
You don't.
Well, I have family.
You just didn't see any of them. All
I have life.
You don't have life. You don't have life.
Well, how was
I'm
it?
Just saying, you're a bad person.
How was it? Was it great?
Of course it's great. It's House of Cards. You guys loved the first season.
Yep.
It's not like I'm begging you to jump on board
something you
don't know anything about. I mean, it's a show you already love, and it's back.
No,
I mean, Kevin, your level of excitement when The Walking Dead came back, you couldn't wait for that Sunday night
because
you wanted to see it the minute it aired. Same thing with House of Cards, I would think.
You would think wrong. House of Cards is going to be there.
Right. As is any other show. You can DVR and watch it whenever you want.
Right.
But it's exciting when something comes back that you've been looking forward to, in this case, for many, many months.
Right. But when I look around the house, the TV is not all I see.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to live in your world. I'll tell you that.
I don't want to live in your world.
Well, you would have seen House of Cards if you lived in my world. It sounds like a win to me.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Blink twice if you'd like me to mercy kill you.
Yes.
Adewale,
Akamaje, Akabaje.
Mr. Echo.
Mr. Echo from that show. Lost. He's in Pompeii, so we're going to talk to him.
All right.
He's going to be in the studio. That's a giant man right there.
That sure is. That's Pompeii, by the way. I don't know if you saw that trailer or not.
I did. Looks awesome.
When that mountain explodes, it's bad news for the people down below.
We have Laura Vandervoort, I think is how you say her name. She's on the cover of Maxim, and she's also in Bitten on the Sci-Fi Channel.
And she was Supergirl on Smallville, if you don't recognize Bitten.
We have Petros Papadakis, who took over from her for Supergirl, the role of Supergirl.
That's right. He sure did.
So good in those tights.
He wants to call and talk about The Bachelor. And I'm not sure that's going to happen. Tell you what, I didn't
say BS. You can't say that word
say
on the
BS.
Radio. You BS, you can say. That's not what you said. You can't say the word.
I was watching it last night, thinking of you watching it and laughing so hard.
Downton Abbey is.
Wasn't it a great episode, Lisa?
It was great.
Wasn't it awesome?
But I knew.
The worst show ever? Oh, how awful. It was just terrible.
So good.
Yeah, by so good, you mean horrible.
And it's a sensation, too.
Oh, you know, that's what I don't understand.
12 to 14 million people a week watching that show. It's one of the biggest hits on television.
Whatever.
It's about time you caught up.
Now that is terrible.
Back. We're in season 4 now, Kevin. So now that you're in, you can go back to the beginning and watch them all.
Nope. I watched about a half of one episode and deleted it immediately. Never to watch it again.
Wow, you missed a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah. Jay Henri? I don't know. I think he's French-Canadian. I don't know. If he is, it's Henri. So we'll talk to him today. He's in Sochi for the Olympics. And we're going to talk to Bean, the man of 1,000 voices today. Very excited about that.
The man of 1.5 voices, by the way. I'm just going to spread him out kind of thin.
And Harvey Levin from TMZ.com will check in with him as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:50.
15 seconds away officially. And the first world championship in franchise history as they win it here at MetLife Stadium.
Right?
43 days. The Seahawks,
that's a month ago,
world champs.
43-8, but I can't remember, Brad Williams. Which team did they beat? I'm just having trouble putting it all together in my mind.
Yeah.
Who was it?
They beat that team that I root for, the Denver Ponies.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And you were there, and you were doing nothing but smack talking. It took Brad, no joke, Kevin, it took Brad like 2 weeks to be able to write to me afterwards to say, I'm just now starting to heal.
Really?
Yes. We didn't speak at all.
No.
And he was mouthing off so much before the game because he was going to be there.
I like how Bean thinks it's because of the game that I wasn't talking to him.
Instead of just normal?
Yeah. I was just using that as an excuse. No, but people are like, oh, how was the game? It's like, well, have you ever spent a few $1,000s to watch something you love get sexually assaulted?
Yeah, it's not good.
I did.
Yeah. We had your podcast and life partner, Adam Ray, in here a couple of weeks ago, and he said it was a very long afternoon for you, especially going to the game with him, a lifelong Seahawks fan.
Absolutely. So. And I will say this. They showed me pictures because they were taking pictures of me the entire time while I was just sulking. There is nothing more depressing than a sad midget.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Just a sad midget in layers of parkas and beanies just sitting there pouting. It looks like...
Nobody wants that.
It looks like I should be in one of those Sarah McLachlan commercials. Just like people should be adopting me or something. It was
well,
awful.
I've been looking forward to being able to speak with you. So welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, Brad. We missed you. We haven't seen you in a long time. What's going on today?
What's going on? Well, the ever-talented Ralph Garman is off working, so they got me coming in doing a little showbiz beat action. And let's get right to it. Long weekend, but we're still going to take a look at the weekend box office numbers. Coming in at number one for the second week in a row, The Lego Movie. Do you guys have any money left? Because apparently they have all of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
It made $50 million.
Wow.
And this is the second week.
Wow. Everything really is awesome.
Yes. The Lego Movie made $50 million. That is an impressive opening weekend just in general.
Exactly.
That's their second week, $50 million. Number two, apparently my podcast about last night made $25 million this weekend.
It was a movie.
I'm pretty sure my podcast made $25
million. By the same
name. I'm pretty sure I'm $25 million richer, guys. Peace out.
I'm sure you wouldn't be here.
This is my only showbiz beat. I'm going to go Charlie Sheen on your ass.
Well, just go check after the showbiz.
All right.
Make sure.
I'll make sure. But, yes, something called About Last Night made $25 million.
It's probably a movie with Kevin Hart in it. That's my guess.
Oh, Kevin Hart's just a... extra crispy Brad Williams. That's all he is. I got that joke from a Twitter fan. I cannot claim that as my own. But his movie About Last Night came in at number two with $25 million. RoboCop, number three with $21 million. How was it, Kevin?
It was good. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah. It wasn't great. You know, it's not a classic or anything, but I liked it.
But stuff blew up.
A lot of action, a lot of shooting, a lot of explosions. It was very loud.
And a lot of Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, you got what you paid for.
But, Bede, who was the... We interviewed the guy and the girl, the leads, Comic-Con last year.
Okay.
Right.
And the girl, what was her name? She was...
Oh, geez, I don't remember.
She's so hot.
Yeah, she's attractive.
Oh, my God.
We will go to IMDb and have you, yes. Have you that information.
Please.
Or Dave will yell in one of our ears.
Nope.
Nope. That was in third place with $21 million. The Monuments Men in fourth place with $15 million. Endless Love made some money over the Valentine's weekend with women dragging their men, kicking and screaming to see the movie.
Abby Cornish is the answer to the question.
Okay.
For the
yeah. She's a good deal.
Yeah.
There you go. And that also made $13 million. Sixth place, Ride Along. Seven, Winter's Tale. Eight, Frozen. Nine, Lone Survivor. And number 10, That Awkward Moment. People are still seeing that.
Yeah, that's happening.
There were still people in that theater.
Mm-hmm.
More than just Bede.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surprising.
That's weird.
I talked about how I was going to go all Charlie Sheen on you guys. Uh-huh. Well, Charlie Sheen is in the news again.
Uh-oh.
He's engaged.
Oh,
he's engaged.
He's engaged.
To three, two, or one people?
One person.
All right.
Porn star?
Porn star.
Yep.
Very good. It's almost like if Charlie Sheen had a mad, like, you could fill this story out if you wanted to. Charlie Sheen is engaged to blank porn star. it's 24-year-old Brett Rossi, and she's a good deal.
Okay.
And Charlie Sheen, of course, he's saying he's madly in love. This is the one. Because every relation, as we all know.
Sure.
You find that porn star, you lock that down.
The right porn star.
The right porn star.
Right.
You lock that down.
Yeah, well, is he like a romantic at heart?
Who, Charlie Sheen?
He must be.
Well, he's been married three times.
He's getting married again.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre to me.
He's already announced that he would not mind having children.
No!
Oh, no!
More children.
By the way,
someone needs to fix him now.
No kidding.
Every month already in child support, he pretty much pays out the GDP of Ghana.
Yeah.
And, like, he's now going to, let's add more kids to the mix. And as we've all said, porn stars make great mothers.
That's true.
They make great mothers.
Bring it.
Wow. So, like, when a porn star gives birth, is it just like a pitching machine?
Oh.
Does it just fly out of there? Does the doctor have to wear a mitt? Like, just catch that thing? I don't know.
Boom.
Just then. He is also saying that at least he's going to get a prenuptial agreement with Brett Rossi, so he's not completely insane. But,
all right.
Maybe he is. But congratulations to Charlie and his new fiance. Obviously, best of luck to you. And I'm glad he's getting married because that just means more show business headlines and jokes for comedians. So thanks, Charlie. Keep it up. Kanye West says that TMZ is racist.
Oh, my God.
It's now gotten to the point.
Now what?
Where you go to a Kanye West show, not just for the music, which is great. You go because you want to hear the 2.5-hour sermon he'll give in between songs.
You know what, though? Not me. I like his music. I've heard a lot of his rants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want... If he came through town now, I don't think I'd go. Too much talking.
Yeah. And he was certainly talking at a concert recently. He said, TMZ is racist and that they only come after me and they only hate on me because I am in an interracial relationship.
Right. Because they never talked about Kanye West before he
never
met Kim
did.
Kardashian.
Never did.
Weird.
No one knew who Kanye West was until
weird.
He started dating a half-white, half-furry.
We prefer the politically correct term is Armenian.
Oh, they're going by Armenians now?
Yes.
Oh, who knew? Yes, but... And then he followed up by saying they... He's mad at TMZ because they totally ignore the fact that I am an egomaniacal douchebag.
Well,
yeah,
that's true. Somebody else has to point that out.
I guess so. I don't know. To me, Kanye and Charlie are just like you can fill in the blank.
Yeah.
You can finish the story at this point. They are caricatures of themselves. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everybody. Lots of celebrity birthdays today. Actor Matt Dillon is 50 years old. Game show hostess Vanna White. Vanna freaking White.
How old is she?
How old would you guess?
Vanna White is...
54.
Is she in her 50s?
I would guess she has to be in her
50s. She's well-preserved.
57.
Good.
Wow.
57. Vanna White's almost old enough to be a grandmother.
She's well-preserved.
Wow. Good job, Vanna. Actor John Travolta is 60. No doubt he's celebrating in a massage parlor somewhere. Dr. Dre. Dre is 49 years old today. Molly Ringwald from all your favorite 80s movies is 46 years old. Regina Spektor is 34 years old today. Bassist Zach Cockrell from Alabama Shakes is 26. And actor Jeremy White, he's Lip from Shameless, don't you know? He's 23 years old today. That's it for the Showbiz News. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad and I pitter patter on the Showbiz Beat.
All weekend long, I heard from Kevin and Bean listeners on the Twitter, Kevin, who are looking forward to the next segment that we have coming up here on the show, as I attempt to fill in for the vacationing Ralph Garman with celebrity voices. It is not going to be pretty. One celebrity voice I don't have to do because the real man himself is on the phone with us right now from TMZ.com in the newsroom here on this Tuesday morning, our friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, sir?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Very good. Thank you. How about you? Do you watch any House of Cards over the weekend?
I watched 6 of them so far.
6? How great is it, Harvey? How happy are you that it's back?
Oh, I'm not happy.
You're not happy?
Why? Why? You're not enjoying it?
Not as much. I just it's too much like, you know, negotiating the Social Security bill and not enough of the stuff that I loved on that show.
Yeah.
I mean, it got a little better in the 6th episode, but so far, I wish that coked up congressman were still alive.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I mean, there certainly have been a few oh wow moments this season, though, and obviously we can say no more. But I'm so happy it's back. I really enjoyed it this weekend.
Well, can I say how far are you in?
8.
Oh my God. Oh, can I? Okay, I won't give it away. How good was Ashley Banfield?
Yes. Now she is a real CNN reporter, host,
a reporter anchor, anchor.
And she interviews the vice president's wife on the show. And it's so weird when you see real life Washington people intersect with a fictional TV show. It makes it seem so realistic, doesn't it?
But it was a big part on the show, and that required a lot of acting. She was great.
I thought so too. Have you been in a lot of movies and TV shows playing yourself, Harvey?
I've been in some stuff, yeah.
Good enough. How are you?
I thought it was really good.
What's your favorite credit? Like, what's the one that you point to and go, see, I can act too?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to brag or anything, but I had a big part in Volcano.
All right. Oh, did we see that one, Kevin? Did we see Volcano?
I don't know.
I don't think so. All right, I'm putting that up. When I'm done with House of Cards, I'm Netflixing Volcano. Hey, I want to talk to you about this story, not only because there's a celebrity angle to it that you just posted this morning, but also as a lawyer, I am fascinated to get your take on this Craigslist killer who just came out of nowhere. And if she's telling the truth in this jailhouse interview, she's one of the most prolific serial killers of all time and certainly has got to be near the top of all time for women, right?
Well, if she's telling the truth, here's the thing. I talked to the guy who actually went into the jail cell and talked to her.
Right.
She says, you know, the report was that she stopped counting at 22 murders. But talked to him. At a point, she said it's less than 100. She wouldn't say more than that. But
right.
But she's in her early 20s. And, you know, she started killing, she says, when she was 13. And she says it's a real-life Dexter. She says she only kills bad people, people who hurt kids or owe money.
Or owe money. Wow. Now, she's called the Craigslist killer because she meets her victims on Craigslist.
The last one.
Okay.
What she did was, she says she was molested when she was 4 by a relative.
Uh-huh.
And it really messed her up. So what she did was she got this guy on Craigslist, and then he got in her car. Her husband was in the back seat, and she tested him. And she said, if he fails the test, I will kill him, and if he doesn't fail the test, I'll let him go. And he said, how old are you? And she said, 16. She was lying. She's of age, but she said 16, and he said, that's cool. Well, he failed the test.
Yeah.
She stabbed him 20 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, we know that for a fact.
That's what she says, and it looks like she's admitting it. She's in
and that's the one she's in jail for, but that's what she was arrested for, is killing that guy.
That's the one she's in jail for. Now, can I just turn it on a clear TMZ angle to this?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
So we get R.J. Mitty out last night, who played Walt Jr. in Breaking Bad.
Right.
And I really like this guy. He's always been great. Well, he comes out of Pins Bowling Alley in the Valley, and we ask him about it. And as soon as he realizes who we're talking about, he says, oh, yeah, the real-life Dexter. He says, that's hilarious. He says, it's messed up. We need more killers like that.
Oh.
And it's like, I know. It was so shocking.
Wow. Yeah.
So we just put it up at the top of the website.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who are very comfortable with others taking revenge if they feel that justice is being served, because there are so many people who think that too many criminals get away with it, I think.
I know. But again, owing money.
Yeah, do we want her to be the judge and jury? I don't think so.
Owing money. That's called the people's court.
Yeah. So, Harvey, obviously the FBI takes notice of a claim like this. Are they now going through and looking at lots of unsolved murders to see if they can put this woman? I mean, because she claims that this is a multi-year, multi-state killing spree, right?
Yeah, and she says most of I believe she's saying most of them occurred, or the majority occurred, in Alaska, where she lived. She's in Pennsylvania right now. I don't know if the FBI's involved. I know other police departments are looking, and they're tracing to see if there are unsolved murders. We contacted some people in Alaska, some law enforcement, and they said, yeah, there are a lot of unsolved murders here because it's such a big area.
But have they been able to verify any of the... Well, she says she stopped counting at 22.
The police are being really tight-lipped now.
They are. Okay.
And by the way, she's trying to throw the confession out she made to cops, because her lawyer says that she wasn't given the right to an attorney when she made the confession. But at this point, she talked to this reporter.
Right.
And that's fair game. So she has admitted an awful lot to him. I don't know. And the lawyer is asking that she be spared from the death penalty, because the lawyer says a lot of innocent people get wrongly convicted, so they don't think that she should be subject to that.
What?
Well, it's just so interesting to me, because it's so rare that you see a woman, as a serial killer. I mean, I remember when Charlize Theron killed all those people. Remember, they made a documentary about her.
I was just surprised by that.
Just a movie. Yeah.
So HLN, Nancy Grace and Dr. Drew, just must be foaming at the mouth to get on the air tonight. I mean, this is all they're going to be talking about for the rest of the spring, right?
Oh, this is Nancy Grace.
She said,
I won't say what I was about to say.
No, but we all agree with you.
You all know.
She went on to say, if I were to be released, I would do this again. So she's taking no chances. That's with.
Oh, yeah, no. She says she wants to be in jail for the rest of her life because she knows she'll do it again.
Right. Wow. Well, great stuff on that story. Keep it up. And also, you're covering the snake handler death, which is great. You're covering Charlie Sheen getting engaged. So much great stuff. Round the clock.
And wanting to have more kids.
Yes.
And wanting to have more kids. Exactly. That's TMZ.com, the website of record. Don't forget, TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4 on Fox. The original TMZ at 6. And TMZ Sports airs weekends at midnight again on Fox Channel 11. Thanks, Harvey. Have a great week, sir.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Hello, citizens. It's me, Adam West, and it's good to be here.
Nice.
So Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, as a parting gift to all of us, as Ralph was walking out the door to go off and do some filming this week, he said, hey, guys, I'm going to be gone next week, but I know you like to do stories on the air where you have voice bits. You should have somebody else do the voice bits. And we all correctly said to him, Ralph, none of us know how to do voices. You have a rare and exceptional skill.
Most of us know.
None of us know how to do voices.
And we had a tryout, and Bean was the winner.
He wasn't bad.
Quote, unquote, winner. And I was terrible. But let me just say a word about this before I embarrass myself further. We do not take Ralph for granted. He is the best voice guy I've ever heard in my life.
Yep.
Certainly the best voice guy I've ever met in my life and worked with. But the incredible thing about Ralph is not only can he do the voices, and whether it's a flying squirrel or it's the president, he can do the voices, but he can also make them funny and do them in character. And that is an unbelievably remarkable skill that he has. And we really do miss him when he's out on days like today.
No, on days like today, we've got somebody to fill in. But I mean, normally...
Why did I agree to do this?
Let me see if this news... Yeah, that's good. All right, so every time you hear that, we're going to change stories.
Okay, all right.
And then the part of the voices will be played by our own Bean.
I can't wait.
The man of 1.5 voices.
Hey, man of 1,000 voices. All right, here we go. Story one. Russian women leaving Russian men on the sidelines in Sochi. Apparently, they are flirting with foreigners, and they don't want anything to do with Russian men. And the Russian men are very, very upset about this.
Oh, wow.
Because all of the Russian women are hitting on all of the foreigners. And they are being left on the sideline. According to one Russian man, "Oh, these ladies, they meet these foreigners, and now they do not let me put my luge in them." Wasn't very Russian, was it? There is a national clown shortage, according to the New York Daily News. It seems older clowns are dying, and not nearly as many younger clowns are joining. So there's going to be a clown shortage very soon.
That's scary.
Uh-oh.
According to the president of the Clowns of America,
yes.
"I'm tired of being a clown because every time I get in a car, it's me and 30 other car people in car. Hold on. It's me and 30 other people in the car, and it's too crowded, and I don't like it."
He had a horn. He had a horn.
New Mexico horse racing regulators are disciplining a trainer because some of the horses tested positive for Viagra.
Oh.
According to one of the horses.
"Hello, I'm a horse, and I'm on Viagra, and when I run a race, my name is Old Five Legs."
Somebody has created weed beef jerky. Weed beef jerky.
Oh, wow.
At a testing lab in California. How great is that?
That's exciting.
Everybody loves beef jerky,
sure.
Right? Weed beef jerky. According to one weed beef jerky man.
"Dude, it's so... Wait, what are we talking about?"
Beef sucks!
I like it. No, I think it went well. I like it.
I'm impressed.
A job well done.
I'm back.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
The beautiful Laura Vandervoort is going to be joining us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. She is on Sci-Fi's Bitten and the cover of the new Maxim magazine. Also, Triple A, as I will call him, because I'm not quite as good as Kevin as pronouncing his name. Adewale Akinawa Akabajaji is going to be joining us from the movie.
I think you got it right.
Pompeii. And Petros with the Bachelor Report on the way, unfortunately, as well. Hey, Brad Williams, filling in for Ralph Garman. How are you, sir?
Well, I just don't know how I'm going to follow up that amazing radio segment happened just before this.
It's probably impossible, but somebody has to.
I mean, I was ready. I was in the back just in case you guys did a Shakira story.
Oh,
I was just going to run
in. That is your one impression.
I was just going to run in and do a quick le-lo-le-lo-le.
See, but that's fine. But Bean had to do four stories.
He did.
Very few people can do that, and he pulled it off.
And well done, Bean. Well, now all this is just crap.
That's correct.
To that, but
I know when I'm being mocked. Please move on.
No, we've peaked.
We've peaked with the show, but I'll try to bring a little light to it with some showbiz news. Two huge stories. Well, one really big story that came out of the weekend was Ellen Page came out.
Yeah.
She was at the Human Rights Campaign conference in Las Vegas called Time to Thrive. She was a guest speaker, and she just walked right up to the microphone, and she started her speech by saying, "I'm here because I'm gay.
And I am here today because I am gay."
Bam.
Wow.
That was my impression.
It was a good impression.
Good, Brad.
It was dead on.
I'm pretty good. I got Shakira and Ellen Page. Pretty much pint-sized tiny women. I'm very good at.
Now, if you're in show business and your name is Ellen, you are required to be gay, or what's going on here?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we're waiting for the announcement from Ellen K. next. So we're just waiting on that.
Does anybody else feel like me, which is, you aren't out? You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I made that assumption about her,
yeah, me
kind
too.
Of, but it wasn't really sure.
But she's
sure,
been dating Alexander really Sarsgaard for the last
couple
years,
but I don't follow
too,
her life really? That closely. That was my initial reaction. And then my reaction after she came out was, all right.
I just think it's great that we've gotten to a point where now a celebrity, an A-list celebrity, comes out as gay, and we all just kind of go,
Yeah.
Which is exactly how it should be. I mean, it's news for 1 minute, and then we go back to our lives because it doesn't matter to anyone else.
Exactly.
So good for her. I hope she's happy because it sounds like, and I watched her whole speech, it sounds like she's had quite a bit of pain in her life from being in the closet, and I think this is a great move for her in her real life.
Yeah. And then a celebrity gay dwarf came out recently, too.
Is that right?
Came out of the cupboard. Professional comedian. Yes.
Don't try this at home, folks. Fred has a lot of experience.
That's the kind of quality performances and jokes you'll get when I'm at the Bray Improv in March. You darn right.
You do not want to miss that.
Oh, that's for darn sure. All right, moving on. Simon Cowell. You had a baby, don't you know?
That's with the his friend's girlfriend?
Yeah, with his friend's wife.
Yeah.
Who's now his girlfriend, Lauren Silverman. Well, she actually had the baby. Simon didn't have the baby. You know, you can't tell by his man boobs.
He helps at the beginning.
I mean, he's got the he's got the boob for the nursing. He could do it. But she actually had the baby. Kind of disappointed in the name. Nothing crazy.
Celebrities are supposed to name their kids crazy.
Yeah, he didn't name the kid Tree Bark or whatever. He just named it Eric.
Eric.
Eric Cowell. What a normal name.
Huh.
Darn you, Simon Cowell. But a healthy baby. And Simon released a picture of the family. Didn't hold out for money or anything like that. I kind of respect him for that. Just said, hey, here's my kid. I said he never knew how much love and pride he could feel until he saw his son for the first time. Very sweet.
And then he left for life.
Yeah, Eric.
Good pull there, Bean. Wow, good drop. Can you imagine when that kid just starts doing something and Simon Cowell is your dad?
Oh,
that was the worst poopy I've ever seen.
Get back in there.
I've seen a million poopies. That one was absolute crap.
I'm not sure he's always a judge.
Hopefully not. Hopefully the kid.
That's Brad doing an impression, by the way. I just like to point out for the record.
Well, it wasn't
getting into my territory
in
now.
In the presence of being the king.
Yeah, it wasn't a pint-sized woman, so I'm not that good at the impression. That's
zero
why.
For effort, zero for style, zero for star quality.
Sorry, Simon.
And you know what? I'm being generous.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, I'm going to stop with the Simon impressions then. Barbara Walters is 84 and uses a vibrator.
No.
Yep. I hope someone was just eating right when I read that story. I hope they had the food in, their mouth started chewing.
Yeah, nobody wants to think about that.
Well, she said on The View that she has a vibrator.
Oh.
And she uses it.
Good for her. I'm happy for her.
There you go.
I'd rather not that be in my face, but okay.
Is she trying to make it okay for all 87-year-old women to use vibrators?
Yeah.
Is that it? Open up the doors for them?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Just saying, hey, you know what? 90-year-olds, let's do this. Geriatrics, let's have a geriatric vibrator parade. Pretty sure geriatric vibrator parade.
Opening at Coachella.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Woo, let's get to the celebrity birthdays, everybody. This is fun. I'm glad you guys have me in to do this. This is a blast. Game show host Vanna White, still looking good at 57 years old today. Matt Dillon is 50 years old. Rapper Dr. Dre is 49. Molly Ringwald is 46. Musician Regina Spektor is 34 years old today. And John Travolta is 60. 60 years old.
Wow.
And it is Tuesday, so let's get to the new CDs, DVDs, and TV on DVD releases. Voices by Fantagram is out today, and they are playing February 24th at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. You can go to krock.com right now, enter to win tickets. You can see Fantagram live. How about that?
Strong.
Gravitas by Talib Kweli.
Well done.
And now a moment with Brad. Good Lord. And new TV on DVD today, Game of Thrones. The complete third season is out, and Nurse Jackie Season 5. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter-patter on the show.
Actress Laura Vandervoort joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She's on the cover of the new Maxim magazine and in the TV show on Sci-Fi called Bitten. She is also a very popular Canadian actress. And speaking of Canadians, one of the most popular in Canadian TV is on the phone with us right now, although now he's here in Southern California on Fox Sports 1 talking to him live. From Sochi, site of the Winter Olympics, Jay Onright joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Jay. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. How are you guys doing this morning?
Very good. Thank you.
In all the years we've been doing this show on K-Rock, I'm not sure if we've ever talked to somebody on the phone in Russia before. This is actually a little bit exciting, Jay.
Wait a minute. Wait. You've never had, like, Yakov Smirnoff on during one of his tours of Minsk or something like that?
I got to be honest. I don't think so.
I guess not.
I'm surprised because I knew you guys were big Yakov pals, but that's fine. That's fair. I'm very honored to be the first one to call you from Russia. That's great.
I'm glad we're talking to you from Fox Sports 1 because I've had an ass full of NBC talking about the Olympics. I want to hear somebody else talk about the Olympics because maybe we'll get a little different impression of what it's like. How's Russia been for you so far, Jay?
Well, speaking of ass full, guys, I mean, obviously Mr. Costas, one of his hands got an ass full of ass, and then he rubbed his eyes, and then, you know, got the pink eye. So that's terrible, but I believe he's back tonight. So
is that going to be the story of the Olympics? I hope so.
Well, it's so funny you bring that up because we were just saying, you know, the two, you know, biggest stories of the Olympics. It's the worst thing about the Olympics, I guess, is that the two biggest stories are Bob Costas's poop eyes and Bodie Miller crying because the NBC reporter asked him too many questions. So,
yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate that ends up being the story of the Olympics, but we've had a great time over here so far. I got to say that. I don't know if you guys caught any of that U.S.-Russia hockey game.
Oh, my
Saturday.
God. That was unbelievable.
Of course,
so,
yeah.
So rad, so fun to watch. The atmosphere inside the Bolshoi, they call the Ice Palace there. It's only 11,000 people. So you think of the Staples Center, that holds about 18,000.
Wow.
So it was actually way less. It was louder than the Staples has ever been for a Kings game that I've been to. It was incredible in there. Russian fans are really great, really fun. And TJ Oshie, just a legend. I mean, just takes shot after shot and eventually wins it for the Americans.
No, it was amazing. And let me ask you this about that atmosphere in Russia. Obviously, they love hockey there. But President Putin, the look on his face when Russia lost, I felt like some of those athletes were going to be sent to prison after the games. I mean, what happens if you don't win in Russia? Are there repercussions?
It's a good question. I remember in the opening ceremonies when that fifth Olympic ring didn't open up, and there were rumors that the guy who was in charge of that was murdered.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Obviously, that was an internet hoax, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's true. I think the only disappointing thing about President Putin through these games, he's just been so friendly. He's just been like the friendly Putin. He's been going to USA House, hanging out, taking pictures with a lesbian Dutch speed skater after
anti-gay
talk. Yeah, so he's been sort of softening his stance and not going shirtless, which is the biggest disappointment.
Yeah, that is a disappointment.
Yes, I am shocked.
We all want a Putin shirtless and maybe riding a bear or a horse.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, this is the voice of Jay on right here on the Kevin DeBean Show from Fox Sports 1. He is at Sochi for the 2014 Olympic Winter Games. We all have probably these outdated impressions of what it's like to visit Russia. It's certainly different than back in the USSR days. Do you have freedom to go around if you have the time? Can you get out of the little Olympic Village or wherever the broadcast center is and just walk the streets like a regular person? Or are they still pretty strict on Americans going everywhere?
Again, so funny you guys bring this up. We were talking about this today. When we first got here, everywhere we went, we took bodyguards with us, and we were told, bring your passports, bring your Olympic credentials, make sure you have it today. We're wandering around. We went to Subway in Sochi, and nobody cared.
Now no one cares.
Yeah, exactly.
Although you are being covered by snipers, just so you know.
I hope so. I'm praying if I'm ordering my 6-inch steak and cheese that I have a little protection. No, it's been great. Everyone, I mean, the Russian people have been so nice. The only mystery to me is how and I have to say this kind of quietly because there's a few around me, how the women are so beautiful and the men are so hideous.
Oh, it's funny you would say that.
On these dudes are like, it's like Ricky Schroeder on Silver Spoons times 12, the bowl haircuts.
It's funny you would say that. We just did a headline of a story about the women in Russia and how they're hitting on all the international men, but none of the Russian men.
No, I mean, I can't believe that they produce beautiful women here because the men are absolutely hideous.
They're ass.
There's plenty of Russian expats in Los Angeles who want to come to my house in Santa Monica and hurt me right now, but we'll deal with that when I get home.
Part of what the Russia was hoping for is that the world would see their country in a new light, and the goal is for Sochi to become an international skiing destination. Do you think that'll happen with what you've seen on the ground there, Jay?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. Do I think the facilities are amazing, and does everything look world-class? It absolutely does. Our hotel's great. The hotels are beautiful. The restaurants are great. The food is okay, but I think the main problem is it's kind of a tough thing just to get here.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to come
to
Europe.
It's a long way, right?
Sure, yeah. If you're going to come to Europe to ski, you're probably going to stop in the Alps maybe stop in the Swiss Alps. You might not come all this way. So I think that's still going to be a tough one for them. But in terms of the beauty of the place and the friendliness of the people, I can tell you guys it's absolutely off the charts. It really is as nice as they said it was going to be. The only thing I worried about, you know, we go over to this, you know, to the beautiful hotels for lunch every day because we really have no rights to show anything and we're lazy.
Right.
And you know, we're there and I'm thinking, who's going to fill these hotels when we're all gone? I mean, is are they just going to be empty? So I'm a little bit worried about that sort of side of things, but that's not my problem. That's old Vladdy Putin's problem.
Speaking of that, they say that they built the stadium for the opening and closing ceremonies and only for those two events.
Well, that's true, guys.
I can't imagine what they would do there then afterwards.
Well, the one thing they will do is Russia did also get, I believe it's the 2022 World Cup, or maybe it's the 2020 World Cup of soccer. So that Olympic Stadium will be one of those venues for the World Cup of soccer. But again, I mean, that's only a couple of weeks, too. So I'm assuming they're going to try to get some sort of Russian soccer team there as well. So I think it will go used. One of the smart things they did do, they clustered all the venues really close together so you can walk to everything. But the other thing they did is they made them so that you can literally tear most of the venues down and just move them to different cities that might use them better after the games are
really?
Over. So in the end, it might just be that Olympic Stadium that's standing there, and all the rest of the venues might be moved to elsewhere.
We're talking to Jay Onright. He is Fox Sports Live. It airs every night at 8 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. What about all of the news that seemed to dominate probably before the Olympics, which is the door handles falling off and the toilets and the bad water and no toilet paper? What about all those stories?
Yeah, you guys know how whiny print journalists are. I mean, you hang out with dudes sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, were there some issues? For sure. Should some hotels have maybe been finished before the game started since they had 7 years to prepare?
Probably. All right.
Did Chris Chelios, our Olympic hockey insider, walk into his room and find a cat on his bed when he checked in? Yes, he did.
Oh, very nice.
Who doesn't love a cat? Who doesn't love a beautiful little
Me?
Cuddly cat?
I hate cats.
Okay. Are you allergic?
Nope, just hate them.
Okay, well, yeah, I think, you know, is it perfect? It's not perfect. Is it, you know, are you checking into the Four Seasons? No, you're not. But it's the people are friendly, they're doing their best, and I do think, you know, going back to one of your original questions, are they putting on sort of a different face of Russia? At least from the people perspective, I find if people are friendly and welcoming, I'm willing to overlook, the occasional bad plate of French fries that I order.
Sure.
So for me, I think it's been great. I think it's been awesome.
Before we let you go, Jay, you recently, fairly recently, relocated to Los Angeles from Canada. How are you finding? Is it anything like you expected it would be?
It's better. First of all, the weather, I know this is going to shock you guys, is a slight improvement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not shoveling snow. Toronto just went through its worst winter in 25 years, and I'm just loving it. I just love my friends sending me their Facebook photos, digging through 5 feet of snow as I stroll along Ocean Avenue with my wife, and we just think, should we go into Sushi Roku today? Let's go into Sushi. Should we sit on the patio? Should we sit on the patio? Yeah, okay, let's sit on the patio.
Do you have to talk like a girl to make that decision?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a must, right?
Right.
It's a must. We're absolutely loving it. And Fox has been great to us. Mr. Murdoch is actually standing next to me. Billy Club, so I had to say that.
Everything
well. He's also recording this phone call, so he can review it later, too, so you'll be fine. All right, Fox Sports Live airs every night at 8 on Fox Sport 1. That, of course, is going to be you with your good friend Dan O'Toole. I'm glad we got a chance to have you on. It's a real pleasure. Let's do it again once you get back home. Jay, thank you for the time.
I can't wait, guys. And let me just say, Christine Fung, your producer, boy,
yes.
What a sweetheart. She's so kind on the phone, so say hi to her, too.
We will do that. Thank you.
Thanks
Jay.
Bye now.
After now 4 seasons of Lisa and I coming in every Monday morning on the Kevin Bean Show, going, oh, did you see Downton Abbey last night? It was so awesome. Lisa, Kevin is finally on board. We finally got him to start watching and joining the party to see one of America's most beloved TV shows on PBS, Downton Abbey. Kevin, what'd you think last night?
Bean suggested that I bring in clips.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to watch Downton Abbey.
Yes.
You got to watch Downton Abbey.
Right. Let's be honest, it's everything I hate. It really is. It's like they live in a mansion and they all... I think every second of the show they were in full suits with ties.
Yes.
Like they dress up.
Yes, they change
24/7.
Like 3 times a day.
Right, but only into something else as nice.
Yes.
There's no loungewear even. Like really nice high-end loungewear. Uh-huh. Nothing. And they all are duke or an earl or a prince or a princess and they all... are very proper.
Well, they're aristocracy, and it's a very formal time. I mean, you watched last night. We're up to 1923 in the series now, I think, is where we're at right now. So it's a very formal time for people who live like they did.
Yes. What a horrific way to live.
So many great characters and so many great storylines and so much tension and drama.
Who
I can't
plays
wait
Granny?
To hear.
plays, you like the best?
Who plays Granny?
Oh, Maggie Smith.
Only Dame Maggie Smith, one of the most acclaimed actresses of all time.
Because she's so important.
Well, that happens to be your title.
You.
She is a Dame. She's won Golden Globes and Emmys and Oscars. She's one of the best actresses of all time. She's amazing on that show.
Granny is a bitch, first of all.
Well, you better know, Granny. If you'd been to see me, you'd know. Don't bully me. I'm not up to it.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd come to see me, you'd know how I am, darling.
Well, she doesn't hold back, for sure.
What a bitch she is. So then they need, I guess they live on a huge farm and they have a bunch of pigs and they need somebody to take.
State.
Okay, thank you. And they need somebody to watch over the pigs. And so then Mr. Drew, I guess, is a neighbor who has been around for a while.
His family's farmed land on the estate.
Okay.
Yes.
And they ask him if he wants to be in charge of the pigs. And he says yes, and that makes him very happy.
So Mr. Drew has accepted your offer?
I'm so pleased. The Drews have been at Yew Tree Farm for many years.
I suppose you think that's sentimental bosh, Mr. Blake.
Now there's Granny, bitch.
Don't be too hard on him, Granny. Mr. Blake has a softer side than we first gave him credit for.
I'm relieved to hear I am redeemed before we leave for London.
I hope I'm forgiven too. I know you thought me very snobbish when you first arrived.
Yeah, very snobbish still. Just for the record.
Mary is softening up. Are you kidding me?
Here's
this
the
is
thing
crazy.
About this.
She's a party girl now compared to how she was at the beginning of this season when she was just a depressed widow.
But seriously, like, nobody has fun on this show.
Oh, Rose?
No one.
Rose has fun.
Listen to them talking. Oh, seriously. Yes. Oh, you thought I was snobbish.
What?
They're
because
all snobbish.
Because they're
every
speaking
one of them is
proper
snobbish.
English. They can't be having fun.
No, they're just not having fun. You can speak proper English and not have fun.
Oh, I think there's lots of people having fun on this show.
I believe that is not true.
But how does this concern Lord Gillingham?
Oh, this is the slave of the landowner.
The man
comes in. No, the woman comes in.
Okay.
And talks to the woman who's the princess or dame or whatever it is she is.
And confused. I don't even know
I'm having
what he's
trouble
talking about.
Following your recap and here, and I saw the show.
And she's got some very important news about the guy who's coming to town, but not the guy, his slave.
No,
the
not his slave. No, his valet. His valet.
His what?
His valet.
What the hell's a valet?
It's the person who travels with him to, you know, handle his affairs, to help him dress and drive for him.
Oh, so they call him a valet. That makes him not a slave.
Well, they pay him.
He's not a slave. Yeah, it's a job. He's an assistant. He's like your Linus. He's an assistant who runs things for Lord Gillingham.
But how does this concern Lord Gillingham?
It doesn't, m'lady. It's nothing to do with Lord Gillingham himself.
But then...
It's his man, m'lady, his servant, Mr. Green, who travels with him.
I only knew this was important because of the music. So I pulled it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But the police ought to...
No.
I must tell Lord Gillingham.
No, my lady, you promised.
My lady, no.
Mr. Bates doesn't know it was him.
I must tell Lord Gillingham. No, my lady, no.
But the more he comes here, the more likely it is that Mr. Bates will find out.
Then I'll telephone him and tell him not to come. Or not to bring Green.
I'm frightened every time Mr. Green and Mr. Bates are in the same room.
You think if he guesses, he'll do something?
And if he does, they'll hang him.
No, my lady.
Or lock him up and throw away the key.
I don't know what's going on there.
Am I allowed to say, yes. Lisa? It's not a spoiler. Okay. Lord Gillingham's man, Mr. Green, raped Anna. That's why she's freaking out that he's coming back to the mansion. And she's afraid that Bates will realize that and will kill him because Bates is her husband. And Bates has already been in jail for murdering his wife, but then it turned out he didn't do it, so he was acquitted. But he'll go back to jail and hang if he actually does kill Mr. Green. So there's a lot of drama going on that you're just starting up to speed with because you haven't been watching this season.
So we're
Something happened.
We're what, like 12 minutes in? By the way, I started going through this show on Sunday night.
Okay.
And I couldn't take it. So then yesterday we had the holiday. So I went at like 11 a.m. I went back to it. I was like, I'm going to do this later. And I put it off all day because
Kevin.
This is a terrible show.
So many great actors.
It's
so
not,
many great actresses.
It's not
great
for me.
Storylines.
It's not for me.
I know it's not for you.
Well,
come in.
All right. So she says, come in. And then the guy walks in a full head to foot, three-piece
tuxedo.
Tuxedo, really nice.
Yeah.
and she takes a look at him, and it is not acceptable.
No tails.
No tails? F you. I'm wearing a full three-piece suit, and I look good. No tails.
You know Granny's coming.
Oh, God. Is she? I didn't realize.
Oh, golly. No, don't change. It's time she learned about the real world.
Okay, so Granny learning about the real world is that sometimes a guy will only wear a tuxedo without tails.
In a
for
previous
dinner.
Season,
that
Granny learned about what weekends were.
That's the real
she
world.
She didn't know what weekends were.
She
yeah.
didn't know what weekends were.
How are 10 million people watching this nonsense?
You should have seen the horror when sewing machine was introduced downstairs. That just threw everybody into a tizzy. I mean, the world is moving too fast for these people, Kevin. Come on.
How are you? I'm serious. How
because
are you watching
the storylines, it doesn't matter when it takes place. The stories are good and the drama
yes,
is
my lady. Oh, you think me snobbish?
I mean, you could update it.
Golly.
And it would still work.
She said, oh, golly.
Yes, she did.
By the way, I was shocked at that kind of strong language coming out of Mary's lips.
Oh,
weren't you, Lisa?
Yes.
I mean, seriously, all of a sudden she's going on a swearing streak. What's happening to my Lady Mary?
What a terrible show that is.
So you're in.
I've got 12, 13 minutes in. I'm out. What was it? That was like an hour 15 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 8.
Now, was that serious third eye blind or ironic third eye blind? I always like to know how we're playing it. Which one was that?
I'd like to answer that as ironic.
Hey, K-Rock's World Tour 2014 destination number 3 is Arctic Monkeys in Dublin, Ireland at 9:10 this morning. We put you on the standby boarding list if you want to go see the band in that great city. Details at KROQ.com. And that reminds me, last week, we were hooking you up with the standby boarding list for Sao Paulo, Brazil to see Lollapalooza featuring our friends in Vampire Weekend. Kevin, who's our winner?
Sean Ruggles from Glendale. Yeah! Sean Ruggles from Glendale.
Glendale!
Won the trip for two to Brazil to see Lollapalooza and Vampire Weekend.
Wow. Amazing. So we'll be contacting you later in the day for all the details. Sean, thank you so much for listening to the World Famous. What are we called?
I like it.
Wow. Speaking of Brazil. Brad Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Funny Brad on Twitter.
That's
comedian
me.
Filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat today while Ralph is off filming a movie. Brad is here, and it's interesting that you guys are together because in a couple of months you're going on vacation together.
Yeah, we're going to Brazil for the World Cup.
El Copa de World. I don't know how to say world in Spanish.
No, that's good. That's good. And they don't speak Spanish, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the record.
They're Portuguese.
It's Portuguese, right?
Okay, yes.
Oh, we've been planning this trip we've been planning this trip for a long time. I actually wanted to go to South Africa and started saving and then ended up not being able to go. So Brazil's even better, I think, than South Africa. So I'm going and Funny Brad is going and we've been talking about this for a long time. We had a race out behind the studio. Like, what happens if we get into trouble? You don't have to be the fastest runner. You just need to not be the slowest runner.
Right, not be the slowest. And you won that race due to a head start.
I cheated a little, but I'm telling you something right now. If we're getting harassed, I'm cheating.
So Kevin literally cheated in the Special Olympics.
I'm pulling the ripcord early. If that happens, see someone coming. I'm just going to turn and run and leave you to handle it.
Nice to know what kind of person you are.
But I have a new theory, and somebody help me out with this. I'm not saying this to be mean because I love Brad. But how do people react to you normally?
Lots of stares.
Uh-huh.
Being a little person and all, lots of stares. And lots of people weirdly taking pictures with a cell phone. They're acting like they're talking on the phone. But
and they're trying to not let you know that they're taking pictures?
Yeah, but then like they're lining it up and all of a sudden you hear a click. And you're like, hey, you were talking. Ass.
But, so my question is, what are the people of Brazil going to think? Like, are there famous Brazilian midgets? Maybe.
Famous Brazilian midgets.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe you'll be...
Ooh, like, maybe you'll be like the scene from Return of the Jedi where C-3PO just pops up and all the Ewoks are like, oh.
Yes!
They start praying to me.
That's what I'm wondering.
They start, like, floating above them and being like, let the USA win the World Cup.
So my theory is, and see if you guys follow this, is that nobody... Who do they put on their shoulders and carry around? Normally.
The person who, like, scores a winning goal or something,
right? Or the coach or what.
Yeah.
They're important.
Yes.
So I'm thinking if we carry you.
Ooh.
We carry Brad. Now we've got a midget on our shoulders. That changes the whole dynamic.
I think you're right.
Because he's like brilliant. That. He's like the king of everything.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
should, and they'll look at you and go, who is that? Those guys are carrying him.
Right. Either do that or like maybe get one of those like baby carriers that Zach Galifianakis had in The Hangover. For
I don't want to
like,
wear you on my
Carlos.
Stomach.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
All right. Whatever. I'm just thinking, you're thinking like.
If we run into trouble, we hoist you right up and put you on our shoulders.
Can we do it like the movie Aladdin? And Prince Ali, Fabulous Ali Ababa. And I just like start coming in, like, yeah, that'd be good.
I don't know. You're going to have to play that one by ear.
All right.
What do you think, Bean? Is that a decent idea? Carrying him around? Because that changes. It changes the whole concept of who he is.
It also looks kind of terrifying, though. I mean, you're already a super tall guy, and now you've got a 3 feet guy on top of you. I don't know.
He's 4'4".
Yeah, 4'4". Give me that extra foot, Bean.
Bean has on, to guy. Take a foot away from a guy who's not even 4.5 feet.
I don't know. I have. Look, Brad is the only guy who can answer this question. You've traveled abroad, right?
Yes, I have.
What's it like in other places? Is it the same reaction as you get in the United States? It's a curiosity for most people. Right?
When I did a USO tour and I went to the Middle East,
yes.
there was one guy over there that thought I was a demon. So that was fun.
Look, that works as well. We just want to be safe. Yeah. So if they think you're a demon, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think you guys are going to be fine with Brad. And I think it's going to be a great time with Brad, partly because the World Cup is a party. Brazil is already one of the most famous party spots in the world. The World Cup is a party on top of that. And you show up with a little person and you are party central.
That's what I'm thinking.
Are going to want to be hanging out. They're going to want to be part of your posse because you've got Brad.
Darn right.
I think that's true as well. I'm just trying to get, you know, in case that doesn't happen, something goes south.
Now, another option you might want to think about if you want to part the crowd and maybe not have hassles is cut out his mouth and his arms and lead him around on a leash behind you.
Like Michonne.
Oh,
wait, what
God,
the hell?
Like Michonne. Good.
Did this turn into
so
some
horrible.
Sick fetish thing going on?
I like it.
Am I like the Gimp in Pulp Fiction now? What's happening?
That's a 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Our friend comedian Brad Williams in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat today. Brad is going to be on stage at the Brea Improv for 5 big shows coming up in March, by the way. Tickets available through improv.com for just $20. And his new comedy album is available called Hi Ho through iTunes or Amazon.com or BradWilliamsComedy.com. What you talking about this hour, Brad?
Well, I'm talking about the weekend box office numbers over the long 3-day President's Weekend. Coming in at number one, The Lego Movie made all the money, $50 million in its second week out. Very impressive.
Yeah, that's crazy big for a second week.
No kidding. Number two, About Last Night. Not my podcast. my podcast About Last Night did not make $25 million. I wish
in a
it
weekend.
Did. I wish, man, if a bunch of people clicking my Amazon banner if that happened, but yep. No. It's the Kevin Hart movie About Last Night. That made $25 million. RoboCop, number 3, with $21 million. Monuments Men, number 4, $15 million. By the way, did you guys see the Jimmy Kimmel, where they had the entire cast of the Monuments Men on?
I didn't see that. Bean told me about that.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was so awesome.
What a great cast.
No one talked to Matt Damon. He was just locked in the dressing room the entire time, and then they finally brought him out, and they gave him a like little baby chair that was on the side of the stage.
I love that Kimmel is figuring out a way to keep that Matt Damon feud going. It's just so many twists and turns, and they're all hilarious.
Absolutely. Good job, man. And then number 5, Endless Love, the big date movie over the Valentine's Day weekend, came in with $13 million. Finishing out the top 10 was Ride Along, Winter's Tale, Frozen, Lone Survivor, and That Awkward Moment rounds it out. Moving on, I found this article, and I thought, this is funny and interesting. SheFinds.com has an article about the worst celebrity beauty advice.
The worst celebrity beauty advice?
Yeah, these are stars that are giving beauty tips that just have no merit whatsoever.
Okay, good.
They're just awful. For instance, Terry Hatcher. Remember Lois Lane,
sure.
Desperate Housewives? She pours a bottle of red wine into her bath, and she says it really helps her skin.
Really?
Into the existing water?
Yes.
I've never heard that.
Wow, that's weird.
Kevin's like, I just drink the wine. It's way better. You just drink it. Snooki.
If you're taking beauty tips from Snooki.
Right, epic fail.
You're already out.
Yes, because I want to look like Snooki. She said she once used kitty litter to exfoliate her face. No news if the kitty litter was used or not.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was.
Mm-hmm. Based on the results, I would go with used. Scarlett Johansson says she washes her face in apple cider vinegar, and that helps.
Apple cider vinegar.
Well, whatever she's doing is working.
Yeah. So
let's
there,
not be too quick to judge on that one.
Right. Lady Gaga says she uses a super strong adhesive tape. She puts it on her face after concerts, and that takes off all the glitter that she had on her face.
Okay.
And I read that, and I thought, holy crap. Thank you, Lady Gaga. Now my girlfriend will never know that I was at a strip club because I'm just putting tape on my face.
You have tape in your
up.
Car now?
Yeah, just all over. Just the stripper dust collector. That's it. I want to see that infomercial. And then here's my favorite story on this article. It wasn't necessarily a tip, but just a story. Taylor Swift. I know you guys call her Tadolf Swiftler.
Tadolf Swiftler. Yes.
That's a bean.
Yeah, we don't need to
gasping
acknowledge.
In the microphone. Hopefully Chris Hansen shows up at his place. Taylor Swift was on a flight to Japan. She wasn't wearing any makeup.
Right.
People started recognizing her. She was like, oh, crap, I'm being recognized. And she used Sharpie as an eyeliner. Yep.
I guess in a pinch, you got to use what you have.
I didn't know Taylor Swift was a quarter Mexican. I didn't know that she hung out with Shy Girl and had beauty tips. Hey, you know, you put the Sharpie on your eyes. Scandalous.
She pulls a Raiders jersey out of her bag.
Absolutely.
Throws it on.
She does that. Go Taylor. All right. I wonder what Rudy thinks of that. We might have to call him.
Might have to.
That's at some point. Charlie Sheen got engaged again. Yay.
But this time, it'll last, right?
Absolutely.
How many times has he been married?
Married three times.
Okay.
Married to, I forget who he was married to first, but then he was married to Denise Richards and then Brooke Mueller.
Right.
And now this is going to be wife number four. And you can't go wrong with former porn star Brett Rossi.
She's a looker.
She's a looker. And already retired. She's 24 years old and retired.
Well, it's a young woman's game.
She did. She made her money. I was like, you know what? I'm good.
I'm out.
She invested smartly, I'm sure. She was in a lot of mutual funds and things like that. So she's doing that. And Charlie has already said that her and Brett plan to have children together. Or him and Brett plan
more
to have children together.
More kids.
More little Sheens running around. That's what we need.
Haven't they been shuffling them back and forth between different moms and all that? Like,
I don't know. I'm pretty
like
sure they show up in a SWAT van at this point.
It's a bad system.
So, good luck to the happy couple. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everyone.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Word. It's my candle blowing birthday.
These celebrities are celebrating birthdays. Actor Matt Dillon, 50 years old today. Dr. Dre, yeah, rapper and headphone maker. He is 49 years old today. Actress Molly Ringwald, you know her from all those 80 movies.
Sure.
She's 46 years old today. Game show hostess Vanna White, still turning those letters, still looking good, is 57 years old today.
Wow.
Yeah. Nobel?
No.
Nobel?
I don't think.
Kind
of.
She's. I mean, she's attractive, an older lady.
Yeah, but no.
All right. Just say. Regina Spektor is 34 years old. And John Travolta, 60 years old today. Happy birthday, John Travolta. Celebrate. Go out. You know, have a drink. Have some cake. Go to a massage parlor. Have fun. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. And I pitter patter on the show biz.
And, of course, features Dave Grohl on guitar.
Oh, yeah, that's Dave Grohl.
Seriously?
Grohl, Rodney, come on.
Is it Grohl?
How long you been working here, Rodney? Come on.
Hey, party people, welcome on into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. We don't have Laura Vandervoort in our studio because she's on the cover of the new Maxim magazine. She's
not here because
she's the star of Bitten on Sci-Fi.
No.
She's here because we are doctors, and we're going to talk her out of this stupid juice cleanse. Laura, what are you doing with this?
That's not food. I know. I don't even know. I need coffee right now.
Do you want somebody to bring you in some?
No, I'm going to try to make it through this.
All right, what do you have in that container? Because
looks
nasty.
Well, the one,
looks
like... The one this morning was like
or something.
Cayenne, which was horrible to wake up to. This one's like kale, cucumber, celery, spinach. It's from clover juice. It's great for you, but it's really difficult.
Yeah.
But it's not food. Why aren't you eating food? Look at you. You can have a meal. Why aren't you eating a meal?
Where are you looking at me?
He can see you from right there. Yeah. I have a subscription to Maxim. I know you can. You're fine. Listen, what are you trying to accomplish with this juice cleanse?
I was just in Alabama for like 4 weeks shooting a movie, a romantic comedy, and we just didn't eat very well on it. So I just thought, you know, I'm going to try to do this cleanse for like 3 days and see what it does.
And
reset.
Whose advice is this? So it has to be a friend. Well, I did it. It was great.
Yeah, everybody seems to do that here. I'm from Canada. We don't do juice cleanses. Yeah, so I'm like, I'm going to give this a shot.
How do you find it so far?
I want coffee.
Okay, all right. So it's rough.
And a pizza.
But what would the downside be if you had a little fruit and some egg whites and some orange juice? How would that hurt you?
I think that's great, too. Honestly, you're the doctor, right?
I am a medical doctor, yes. Medical doctor not included.
They do say that if you're hungry, you can have an avocado. I'm like, great.
Wow.
Crazy.
Super filling. Now, how long does this go? 3 days?
As long as you want. 1, 3, 5 days. I think I'm going to do one.
How about like 6 hours?
How about like 1 hour?
Yeah, all right. Good enough. It is
just so crazy. And I'm not trying to make generalizations because, you know, there are millions of people in Southern California. But you're a beautiful actress who is in phenomenal shape and you look fantastic. It's just crazy that you're waking up and you won't eat. You know what I mean? I feel like there's something wrong with the world that somebody like you can't have a goddamn breakfast.
Oh, no, I will. This is just like, I'm trying to reset. Like she said, I'm just trying to, you know, get back in check.
I mean, you get so many vegetables.
Yeah, I barely eat enough vegetables as it is. This is a great way to do it.
What's your favorite food?
I love a good bagel and cream cheese and lox.
All right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Kind of boring, but.
How was Alabama, by the way? That's one of the few states that I haven't spent much time in. How'd you like it?
It was okay. It was great. I mean, the people were fantastic. It snowed, so they don't really know how to handle snow. There's no plows, no.
Yeah.
So people abandoned their cars.
Down there when we saw Atlanta on the news where it just looked like The Walking Dead, the way everything was abandoned?
It was like the apocalypse. People abandoned their cars. There were FedEx trucks in ditches. Cars were on fire. We slept in our trailers because we couldn't go home. Like, it was.
Wow.
I'm Canadian. I'm like, just let me drive home. I can't do this. This is nothing.
I've driven on snow before. I'm all right.
I've driven on black ice. It's okay.
Now, you must have really been mocking people. I mean, most of what we saw in Atlanta was 2 inches of snow, which you get every 15 minutes in Canada,
exactly. It was nothing, but I had to stay in.
What part of Canada are you from?
Toronto.
Laura? Oh, nice. Yeah, we just had a sportscaster on from Sochi from the Winter Olympics last hour who was saying Toronto just had their worst winter in 25 years. He says it's been crazy back there.
Yeah, when I was home for Christmas, we lost power for 8 days.
Oh, my Sweet.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh.
8 days.
Yes.
In Toronto.
Yes.
Now, that's where you film Bitten, too, right?
It is.
In
yes.
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. You do it at home, sort of?
Yeah, it's great. I haven't been home in a while. A lot of my shows have been in Vancouver, so this is the first one in a while that it's been back at home. So my sister just had a baby. I get to spend time with her and the baby.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Don't bring that nonsense green drink around then.
forgive me for asking for some backstory, but I'm always fascinated with the events of a person's life that ends up, they end up on a TV show. How did you end up in working as an actress? Is it something that was a passion of you as a little girl?
It's not super exciting. I wish I had like this amazing story, but I was around 13 and I watched the movie My Girl with Anna Chlumsky, and I think it just sort of inspired me. I'd done martial arts my whole
life.
And
she's Canadian too, right?
Wait, hold on. You've done martial arts your whole life?
Yeah, I started when I was 7.
Why?
I thought I was a boy.
Okay, all right. What martial art?
Shotokan.
Very wrong. I don't know what that is, Shotokan.
It's just a form of martial arts that I did at 7 at a dojo in Toronto, and I did it till I was about 20, second degree black belt. And
wow.
You're a second degree black belt?
Yes.
What?
So,
and Lisa, what are you?
I'm mauve.
I want that belt. It's really pretty.
You jumped over that belt.
What was it that I want to get back to the acting in a second, but what was it? So you tried at 7 and you just fell in love with it and it just became a part of your life and you enjoyed it so much you did it for 13 years?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was just really aggressive. I loved to beat up the boys in class and very competitive and driven, and so I just stuck at it and ended up teaching martial arts growing up.
Okay. Wow.
And then the acting was just something really different for me to do.
And those classes that you were taking, they were co-ed? You fought yeah. boys in those classes?
Yeah, sometimes I was the only girl. And then as I got older, I was a teenager, and I'd be fighting, you know, grown men in their 40s. And they wouldn't want to hit me, and I'd be so upset. I'd be like, hit me, I need to do that.
So. Would they underestimate you because
I think so.
You're a woman, and did you enjoy that?
That pissed me off.
Yeah, kicking their ass? Yeah.
I would just go at it harder.
Because I don't look at you and see second-degree black belt. I just
you
don't.
You come over here.
I don't want. I'm not challenging you. I'm just saying.
I wonder how many times there were guys who saw you, Laura, and thought, oh, my God, I want to ask her out. But then you kicked their ass and then they couldn't. Right. Like they can't come to you after you beat them and then ask you out. I mean, that's humiliating.
They could, but it never really happened yet.
Yeah.
Did you ever get beat?
If anyone's tuning in right now, this yeah. sounds horrible.
She's a second-degree black belt. We're talking yeah. about MMA here.
No, just at the dojo, just for sparring classes or demonstrations, things like that, for my grading, for my black belt.
Now, did you just stop doing it just because you got too busy?
Yeah, I started acting at around 13 on kids' shows, and I would do both and then go to school, and that was sort of just my life. And acting took over. I got a series in Toronto and just sort of had to stop. I couldn't teach, and I couldn't be at the dojo as much as they'd like you to be.
What is it you liked so much about acting when you started?
I think for me, when I was a kid, it was just something different and exciting, and I didn't quite understand it. And then as I've, you know, I would say the past like 4 years, I've truly started to enjoy it, as opposed to being afraid of it and getting nervous and anxious about it and questioning myself. Now I actually truly enjoy it because I've been challenged, especially on Bitten. I'm doing stuff that I didn't think I was capable of, including fight sequences, which is nice sort of coming back to my martial arts.
But then you have to pull back. They actually have to teach you not to fight.
Right. They have to. Right? It's like a whole different thing, how to throw a punch.
Right.
Don't actually hurt the people.
This is the voice of Laura Vandervoort here on the Kevin Amin Show. She is the Maxim cover girl for the March 2014 issue.
Is she?
We'll talk about that. Yeah, you hadn't noticed.
How about that?
She also is the star of Bitten on the Sci-Fi Channel. We've got so much more to talk to Laura about, and we'll do that when we return right after this on the Kevin Amin Show on Carrot. Let's get her some coffee.
Girls stick up for girls.
Hang on a second. You gotta take a sip of coffee.
Oh, you're just rubbing it. And then Lisa's doing an In-N-Out Burger commercial, which I'm sure Laura's just freaking out over hearing about that.
That's good coffee, but I can't handle it all. Somebody else should help me.
Laura Vandervoort is in studio with us here. She, of course, is the star of Bitten on the Sci-Fi Channel. What do people know you most from, Laura, when they see you on the street? You're one of those actresses who's worked a lot, but people come up to you and you don't know what they're going to say, right?
Yeah. You know, I get Smallville a lot because I played Supergirl for 4 years. But then I get the random girls that remember me from my kids' show, Instant Star. So it sort of varies.
That must be a crazy surprise for you when that comes out of their mouth and not Ted, right?
Or even Goosebumps when I was like 14 years old.
Right.
So.
Let's talk about Bitten for a second. You're again, the only girl in a bunch of guys, basically.
Yes, yeah.
You're the only girl werewolf.
Yes.
How do you play a werewolf, by the way?
How do you play? Well, basically, she is a human for, you know, all intents and purposes. But when she's aware, you're really enjoying that coffee.
Sorry, I just need another sip. I apologize.
Kevin, bring a croissant or something in to go with that. Something really delicious.
Oh, that's good coffee. I wish I could share.
it's a great show. I'm very challenged on it. And you really don't see us as werewolves for the majority of the show.
Right.
And it's visual effects. So we just do the drama side of it. And let the visual effects take over.
Now, anytime you get into a genre that's been around a while, you know, like zombies or vampires, or in your case, werewolves, you can create your own mythology around the creatures. Mm-hmm. What are your werewolves like? Like, do you come out with the full moon?
Well, our show is based on some novels by Kelly Armstrong. So there's existing material that we sort of have to abide by. But you don't need a full moon. You don't need the silver bullet. We can change whenever we'd like to.
But it's painful.
It is painful,
from what I've seen on the show,
especially for my character.
Time.
Yeah,
no woman has ever lived through it. And then you did.
Yeah, I'm the first woman to survive the bite who hasn't, you know, committed suicide or died through the first change because it's so
it's a comedy.
It's a comedy. Yeah.
So why did the guy who's in love with you bite you?
You won't
What's
know until the finale.
Oh, come on.
Oh, interesting. Are all the other werewolves in love with you because you're the only one of their kind?
Not necessarily. A lot of them hate her for it because she is the best tracker and she's got abilities that they don't. So there are the male wolves that, you know, resent her for
that
it.
That boys club.
They're
the
very
boys
bitter.
Club. The boys club.
Always, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
What did you think when you shot your Maxim photos, you did your Maxim interview, and then the magazine came out and the slug line was once bitten, twice hot?
I thought it was great.
When the moon hits your eye, it transforms you into a monster with a killer instinct. That's a werewolf. Heel before the hottest wolf woman on two or four legs, Laura Vandervoort. Why'd you decide to do Maxim?
You know, it's something that we've been thinking about for a while, and it just didn't seem right at the time. But having been on Bitten, and it's such a you know, it's a sexy show. It's an adult show. It's dark. And it just seemed like such a great fit. The magazine's fantastic. And they did a shoot for us that was very female dominant, and she's strong and still sexy, and she's taking care of herself, and I just thought it was really well done.
Hang on
and
a second,
proud
I'm sorry,
of it.
I just need another drink of coffee.
Oh, gosh.
How long is that going to go on?
Really, until you leave.
Only until
as long as it takes. I don't. It turns out I don't like coffee. I'm just doing this to bug you.
I know. I got that feeling.
Okay, good.
That's true. You know, I don't remember ever seeing Kevin drink coffee
really
before,
don't.
Lisa. Do you?
This kale is so good.
I can't finish it. I can't finish the coffee, though, so I don't know what to do with it.
Laura, are you the type of person who at like 3 o'clock this afternoon is going to be F this juice pledge and you're just going to go back and start eating yes. and drinking whatever you want?
Yeah.
Or do you really think you could make it for 3 days?
No, that's happened before. I make it through like one day at the most, half a day. And
you
I
do what
up.
You can.
And then your character as a werewolf, though, eats like a mother. Just like start when you get done changing, you are hungry.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes stuffing
you, just stuffing food,
food
in your face.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so
the best part
are you
going
to call them up in Toronto and go, can I come in and film today, please?
I just want to eat some bacon.
I need a reason.
How long has Bitten been on?
We're on episode 6 tonight.
Oh, so it's just new this season.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so people tune in. We're hoping to come back for a second season. We just need you to watch.
Okay, well, Maxim's not going to hurt you, Laura. You're gonna get a lot of new fans, I imagine, just from people seeing you on that. So, well done.
Thank you.
All right, we're out of time. So, sci-fi.com. Bit. I know it was super fun to meet you.
Yeah, it's good to somewhat meet you.
Now, Bitten is on Monday nights, right?
Monday nights on Sci-Fi at 8 p.m.
And then do they repeat it throughout the week or no?
I think just
I know it's
different
video
time
on demand
zones,
and stuff like that. You can watch them at Sci-Fi.
Yes. And Space if you're in Canada on Saturday nights.
Ah, there you go.
If you're trying to stay warm from the snow inside. So.
Well, thanks for coming in. Hang on a second. I'm sorry.
She's not going to come back.
Really
no.
appreciate
been
it.
Really bad.
Thanks for Hey, trust us when we tell you that band right there, New Politics, is awesome live, and you do want to see them at the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space this Thursday for free. You can go to krock.com and register to win your way in. That is going to be a great, great show. Hey, we don't have to do the Bachelor Report, right? Because Rob's gone this week, right?
That's correct. Very happy about that.
Hey, P, great news. We don't have to do the Bachelor Report. We can just talk about man stuff.
Oh, hell no. I woke up early this morning.
What?
I was so excited about The Bachelor, I decided to drive a giant lap around the city.
Okay, so you drove, you got here to the station about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, that was just like a stop, though. I'm stopping at different places where I know people and, like, spreading the news about The Bachelor like Paul Revere.
But then why are you gone now?
Well, because I'm in my Silverado, I got to stop over at Alpine Village in Torrance and let them know about Juan Pablo. And then I'm going down to the Home Depot in Carson.
All right, so you're just spreading the word about your favorite show because apparently last night was a very exciting El Bachelor?
Gee, damn it, I'm excited. No, not really. I mean, it was just okay, but my favorite person left the show, my opera singer.
Oh, that had to be heartbreaking.
Well, she was really up and down about it, guys. You know, she was very, very much into Juan Pablo physically. She liked to stare deeply into his Latin brown eyes. Mm-hmm. I think they're brown. And she talked to him a lot. But every time she tried, he stuck his tongue down her throat.
Yeah.
So they never really had much more than a physical connection. And finally, she realized that she had to get back to Germany to her burgeoning opera career. I don't know if you guys know, but opera music very popular with the kids in Europe.
Sure. Huh. Now, look, Kevin and I don't watch this show because why would we? But this Juan Pablo seems like a horn dog. Like, how many girls from this season are going to end up pregnant?
Well, I don't think he's had sex with anybody aside from the girl in the ocean. And everybody knows if you have sex in the ocean, then you're not going to get pregnant.
That's true.
That's science. Tell everybody because doctors have proven it, especially the Pacific. It's too cold, and all the eggs die. So, but he had sex with Claire allegedly, who is really kind of losing her mind. But he does make out with a lot of these chicks. I mean, that's really the only way he seems to be able to communicate. I mean, English is his second language. But he doesn't understand a damn thing anybody's saying. So he just kind of stares at all of them like a cocker spaniel. And then ultimately, I think somebody is going to fall in love with making out with him.
No one's going to fall in love with him, Petros.
Now, let me ask you this, P, because, again, I didn't see a minute of the show, but I do see the internet chatter. And is this true that Juan Pablo's baby mama made an appearance on the show last night?
Oh, yeah, and it looks like they still have a lot of wild Latin sex in Miami. I mean, she did not look like a woman who was unattractive. She was sultry and hot. And obviously, Juan Pablo can't control himself.
Right.
You know, he ran his daughter out there in a dance recital. His parents were out there last night. He introduced them to Nikki, the nurse. But you guys might be interested to know that after my opera singer left, there was some cat fighting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Claire, who's like, she's a chick from the ocean, and she's a hairdresser in Sacramento, so she's an idiot. She doesn't know any better.
Right.
And I mean, she's from Sacramento. I mean, you can't help herself.
Sure.
And then Nikki, the nurse, who is from Kansas City and is a little bit bitter, as I think we would all be if we were trying to communicate with this guy who's like a golden retriever. And these two girls, they finally broke getting after each other. Here, I hadn't even pulled a clip from my Silverado.
Why are you laughing? Claire, I have nothing to say to you. Like, let's be honest. Like, I don't like you. We're never going to be friends. You can just excuse yourself from my room.
I can excuse myself?
Yeah.
This is all of our suite.
Oh, is your stuff in here?
This is not your room.
Oh, it's not.
Did you sleep in here? Did you pay for it?
Do you sleep in here?
Did you pay for it?
No, did you?
No, so it's neither of our rooms.
Okay.
So it's open space.
All right. Great.
Just want to clarify that.
Oh, please do.
Oh, it's on.
Yeah, let's argue about what community space is on The freaking Bachelor. Let's dedicate some moments of production to what is community space between these women whose menstruation cycles have all undoubtedly at this point matched up. Oh, I'm sorry, that's my fuel level. It's low.
Oh, no. How are you going to make your rounds of the city?
No, that's okay. I'll stop by the Chevron and tell them the good news.
Okay, good. Now, we have learned from not just The Bachelor, but any kind of competition show, you know, whether it's Big Brother or The Real World or whatever it is there not – the people are in competition with each other. These girls want to win over these other girls every bit as much as they care about winning Juan Pablo, right?
I don't know, man. I think that kind of happens with the dudes, you know, with all that high T, that testosterone when it's The Bachelorette. Some of these chicks pair up and are friends. You know, people don't like that Nikki because she's negative. And then the other people don't like Claire, well, because she doesn't know any better and she's crazy and she's from Sacramento. I don't feel the competition element for Juan Pablo. I actually feel like the person that wins Juan Pablo, you know, they're going to win the sex with the hot Latin guy, but they're also going to win a lifetime of confusion and ignorance.
All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, just four girls left. That's all. We got to be getting into some pretty heavy-duty stuff happening in the next 2 weeks, right, P?
I'm glad you said that, and what a great setup, because hometown dates are on their way. And next week, I hope Ralph is done with his movie or whatever.
He will be.
Because next week, there's two episodes, for Christ's sakes, Sunday and Monday night, two solid hours apiece.
Four hours.
Epic Bachelor. I mean, we're not even toward the end, and we got a four-hour event with Juan Pablito next week for the hometown days. And apparently something goes down that's, like, super bad. Like, he has sex with a chick on the fantasy suite, Andy the lawyer, and she doesn't like what went down, and he's not happy about what went down. I mean, I don't know what went down. I mean, maybe Juan Pablo got a little bit full. Who knows?
It sounds crazy. You should make your rounds and tell other people.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to drive up to Hemet.
Okay.
Take it over to Porterville and Bakersfield. I'm going to loop through El Centro.
Right.
At Highway 74. And I'll meet you guys again on Tuesday.
Excellent.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, say hi to the Midwest for us, B. Thanks, dude.
I think I'm running out of gas. I got to go.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 8:51.
Adewale Akinoye Agbaje.
What that guy said is here, and he joins us coming up right after the top of the hour, one of the stars of Pompeii. Like you, Kevin, Adewale is a former fashion model who now has a law degree. So you guys will have a lot to catch up on, a lot to be in common with.
Pretty much the same life.
Actor, fashion model, lawyer now?
Lawyer.
Why not, right?
Hey, our friend Brad Williams on Twitter, @FunnyBrad. His website is bradwilliamscomedy.com. Of course, his podcast, About Last Night, with the hilarious Adam Ray. He is in studio with us today, filling in for Ralph Garman, who's off shooting a movie. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing well. And listen, everyone, I know I'm not Ralph Garman.
Right.
Ralph is incredibly talented, and some people on Twitter are like, you're not Ralph. It's like, I'm pretty sure I know.
Yeah.
I'm not Ralph Garman.
Well, that was insightful.
You're aware.
Of them.
So I got to make the people like me more.
Good luck.
I got to do how about a giveaway?
Oh, good.
Giveaways make people like you,
sure. Ralph does
right?
That. Yeah.
Yeah. How about we're giving away 5 pairs of passes to the Marvel fan event celebrating the release of Thor 2: The Dark World.
Yay!
How about that? February 24th at the ArcLight in Hollywood, because Thor: The Dark World is out on Blu-ray and DVD on Tuesday, February 25th. So this is a Marvel fan event. It's just a big old, it's a big party, and they'll also be showing the new Marvel one-shot, All Hail the King. That stars Ben Kingsley, and that he played the Mandarin, and this is sort of a little side film about that. He played the Mandarin in Iron Man 3. And guess what? Sir Ben Kingsley himself will be there sticking around at the screening for a Q&A.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty darn sweet. How about that, people?
So you're not full size like Ralph, but you are fun size, and you are giving away good stuff.
Do you want to go to this thing? Of course you do. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers will get a pair of passes to that event for Thor 2: The Dark World.
Call right now, and we'll get right back to you.
Nope. Yeah. All right, people, you like me now? You like me better? Okay. Now, let's get to some showbiz news. Simon Cowell had a baby. This is the baby that he had with his girlfriend, Lauren Silverman. And you may remember that Lauren Silverman was married to his friend.
Yep.
To Simon Cowell's friend.
Uh-huh.
I forgot his name. But then, they were married. And then Simon went, I'll take that.
Yep.
And
then I won't take that anymore.
I won't take that anymore. But, oh, wait, you're pregnant? All right, I'll take that again. So that's what happened. Then she gave birth over the weekend to Simon's son. They named the baby Eric. He is 6 pounds. He's healthy. And when Simon first gazed upon his new son, he had this to say.
0 for effort, 0 for style, 0 for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
To a baby.
To a baby.
That's crazy.
I mean, he's going to have a terrible childhood if that's the case. He tries to build blocks. Daddy, look, they build blocks. Absolutely pathetic. Oh, that's going to be nuts. This is a cool story. We talk a lot of smack on the showbiz beat and about celebrities. Read this story. I thought, well, this is cool. Let's talk about it. Ralph's favorite actor, who is about to play Batman, Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Recently got a cup of coffee just at a coffee shop. And it's a $4 cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
He looked in his wallet, saw he only had $100 bills. What a great problem to have. And so he just gave a $100 bill to the barista and said, here, keep change.
Peace out. Really?
How about that?
Wow. That's pretty cool.
$96 tip on a cup of coffee for Bruce Wayne.
And do you think that is... I'm a dick if I ask them to find $96 in their register for change.
It may be part of it, but I've been in that experience before.
Still relatively cool.
I chose to be a dick in that scenario.
Yeah, I have 100. Give me change.
Yeah, exactly. Like I only have 20s. I'm sorry.
Because a lot of businesses, they won't take anything over a 20, right?
That's true. Yeah.
That is absolutely true. But he did.
And that's very cool.
Gave a $96 tip, and he didn't even have... No, but Bean, why do you bring that up? Is that because you were shaken down at the car wash, and you felt you were forced to give a big tip?
Oh, good. I did forget about that.
Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, a lot of... You know, I go to 7-Elevens is mostly where I do most of my shopping.
Sure.
And, you know, they don't want you...
Fine dining.
They don't, they don't want you flashing anything above a 20 in a place like that. I mean, I guess he had a choice to make. So, well done, Ben.
I'm pretty sure you could walk into a 7-Eleven with 100. They just gave you the store. Say, here
you go. That's probably true.
Done.
Yeah.
It's
yours.
Bean should do that. Why not? Kanye West said in a recent rant that TMZ is being racist. He likes to give speeches now in between songs when he's out on tour.
It's more like he'll sing an occasional song or rap in between his speeches.
Yes, he has a live speaking engagement in front of 28,000 people.
Right.
And then he drops a couple songs in there. But during one of these rants, he said TMZ is racist and that they only hate on him because of his interracial relationship. Because, he is in an interracial relationship, obviously, with Kim Kardashian. Kanye being a black man, Kim Kardashian being a bitch.
That's it.
So people don't like that relationship.
That's a pretty easy statement to say. That's just stupid.
Yeah, completely.
When you're giving Power Wheels Lamborghinis to your baby and saying you're a god and a genius and if they rewrote the Bible today, you would be in it. To focus on the interracial relationship, that's not even an issue.
Right.
And now, you Kanye, you're a douche on so many levels. So many.
That's not one of them. We don't care
who you sleep with. Have fun. Go to Glendale and wreck all the Armenians. We don't care. Just stop being a dick. So that's going on. Let's get to... it's Tuesday, so there's new CDs and DVDs out today. Voices by Fantagram is out today on CD. And Fantagram will be playing the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock February 24th, and you can go to krock.com right now and enter to win tickets. And also Gravitas by Talib Kaweh, that's out today.
Who?
I'm not even going to try to say that. I got ripped on Twitter for that one. It's like, Ralph would have gotten it right. Well, Ralph's not here. I'm doing my best. I'm having a Kevin. I don't know how to say that. Kaweh? Bean, are you there? Help me out here.
Yes. Talib. Oh, now I forgot.
Yes!
Talib Kweli.
Quali? Like Wally, but Quali?
Yes, okay. That's right.
Look,
that's
you
right.
May not be able to say the name, but you know the music.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
That is their hit song. climb of the charts, that one. That is out today. Gravitas, go get it. Just name your band The Band or something. Just do it easier than that. And TV on DVD today. Game of Thrones, the complete third season, out on DVD today. And Nurse Jackie, season 5, out on DVD today. So go pick those up. Celebrity birthdays, let's get to them. Actor John Travolta is 60 years old today. Go, Johnny.
He does not look 60.
Yeah, he does not look 60, but he is.
Yeah.
There you go. Go party. Have a good time. Have a happy ending. Get it? game show hostess Vanna White is 57. 57, Vanna White. Still turning those letters, as you do. Good job. Actor Matt Dillon is 50. Dr. Dre is 49. Molly Ringwald, you love her from the 80s. She's 46 years old today. Regina Spektor is 34. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter, @FunnyBrad, and I pitter-patter on the showbiz beat.
Always on radio.com. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 Care.
Bean, I'm going to let you introduce our guest.
That's nice.
all right.
Let me try it.
All right.
Adewale Akinoye Agbaje.
Is in studio with us. Let's give him a round of applause,
man. Yes. Mr. Bean, a round of applause. That was fantastic.
Look, I know that we've spoken with you on the phone in the past, Adewale. You've been kind enough to come on for a couple of movies, and we talked to you from Lost. Did we ever ask you why you didn't change your name when you became an actor just to make it easy for poor, dumb DJs?
I think you were way too scared to ask me that question. You know what? My name, as you can see, is quite, you know, different.
It's a mouthful.
It's different. And obviously, growing up in England, it was even more different. Everybody's John Paul or David.
Right.
So it was a cause of many fights growing up.
Really?
Yeah, you know, because I was one of the only Nigerians in the neighborhood. And so the name was a cause for ridicule. And my father was insistent that I stand up for it. And I had to. So by the time I got to Hollywood, I, you know, fought.
You fought all those battles.
So many battles to keep my name and have people not, you know, snigger at it or have you. So it was just part of me. So,
but you could have you could have changed it to Rick.
Well,
it would have been a lot easier.
Do I really look like a Rick?
No,
dude?
No,
not at all. I look like a AAA though, right?
AAA. There sure.
Now, is it, do people call you AAA, and is that cool?
Yeah, they call me AAA. They call me Addy. They call me Adewale. So you can call me Addy, bro.
No, right. I like all of those.
Yeah, like all right, Addy, bro.
It's so. I'm sure you hear this all the time because some of the roles that we are familiar with you from, you have that. Obviously, you have the beautiful low, deep voice, but you speak very slowly and oftentimes with an American accent. When people meet you and hear what you sound like in real life, it must just blow their mind. They can't put two and two together that voice is coming out of that face that we think we know.
You know what? I'm confused as well. I play so many different characters. I'm always in character. I don't even know what my own accent sounds like.
Is the English accent, our English accent, easy to do for you?
I wouldn't say easy, but, you know, over time, because it's my profession, it's become second nature. But it is always a step away from who I am, obviously.
Right.
And so when I'm performing, it's that added garment that I have to wear. But, you know, the more I stay in it, and I have to stay in it to keep consistent.
You stay in it during a project?
Yeah, I have to. Otherwise, you know, there's nothing worse than doing an American accent and then hearing a little Cockney going, all right, darling. what's going on?
when you're, I guess Lost is the perfect example only because you did it for so many years. So when people meet you, they expect you to be a quiet, somber, thoughtful person like Mr. Echo, I would imagine. And then it must just be such a surprised that you're so upbeat and happy and jolly.
It is.
They, and you're not going
to
kill them?
They expect me to go around talking like this. my name is Mr. Echo. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? And they get very disappointed. I mean, I've had some
really... Do they insist you do the voice?
They insist I do more than the voice,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, all right.
put on the hat, put, you know, for Adebisi, you know, where's my stick for Mr. Echo?
Sure,
and,
sure.
I've made a lot of women, you know, disappointed because they come up to me with all these expectant eyes, the big black man from Africa.
With the big stick.
And I'm like, you're right, darling, how you doing? it just crushes them, man.
Like, all right, so here's a question that may, forgive me if this is ignorant, but I really don't know, Adewale. So when you're in Pompeii and you're playing a guy from 80 BC or whatever it is, what kind of accent do you choose for that? Because clearly they're not speaking English in real life back then.
The same one I use for every African. No, I mean, here's the thing. As an African, whether it's AD or whether it's, you know, 21st century, African dialect doesn't actually change that much.
Yeah.
You know, the African language and dialect. Now, European languages, Latin, and the emphasis will change. But African dialects are actually, because we still maintain the traditional cultural vowels and stuff. So that doesn't actually change much.
How old were you when you moved to Britain?
I was actually born in Britain.
Oh, you were?
Born and raised, but I moved back to Nigeria when I was 8 and then as a teenager. So I spent, you know, teenagers there and some of my formative years there, yeah.
Where do you live now, Adewale?
I live in sunny California.
Oh, nice.
Oh, what a crazy life. So are there times where you feel American, at times when you feel British, and at times when you feel Nigerian?
Yeah, absolutely. I consider myself a global citizen. You know, obviously, Nigeria is my roots and my home.
Mm-hmm.
London was where I was born and raised. And I've been living in America, and I'm a citizen of America
for
20 years.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
So,
how often do you go back to Nigeria now?
It's quite difficult given the schedule. I get there like about once a year, you know, but you know, unfortunately it's not as frequent as I would like,
right?
So Nigeria has to come to me.
My family
and friends come.
I've not been, but I do have a pen pal who's a prince who is going to leave me a great deal of money. We just haven't worked out the details on that.
That's a scam.
That would be my cousin.
Okay, good. I'm very excited about the cash, and at some point when I get the money, I'll go visit him.
But, whatever you do, don't send him money.
But Nigeria seems like one of those countries that most Americans, me included, know very little about. Are there places in Nigeria that are modern and safe?
I mean, Nigeria is probably one of the most advanced cities in the world. I mean, yes, it has its rural and cultural villages and stuff, but Lagos, Abuja, I mean, they're happening, man. It's like New York.
They're first
times
world cities.
10. I mean,
wait, it's New York times 10?
Yeah, I mean,
what?
In terms of the energy and what you can do there, I mean, Lagos itself is probably one of the most dynamic cities that I've ever been
really?
To.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a contrast to what people understand of Africa. Because
yeah, yes. Well, it's a big continent, but we kind of just lump it all in the same.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's, like it's a, all Somalia to us. I mean, yeah. All we
it's kind of what you say about America, isn't it?
Right.
It's like
sure. Yeah, yes.
52 states. Oh, but it's America.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's not just America, is it? Let's
not
face
at
it.
All.
East Coast, you got the, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
very
Africa's similar. It's very,
Adewale, are you positive about the 52 states? That doesn't sound right to me.
I think it's 50.
Oh, I thought it was 32. I haven't. No. Of course. I'm positive.
Okay.
Very.
All right.
Very positive. I've sworn an oath to be positive.
Pompeii is a real thing, and I know how dumb we Americans are, but I think there are going to be people who think that you made up this volcano erupting and destroying the town for the film. But in reality, it's one of the greatest natural disasters in our Earth's history that's ever been recorded, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pompeii is one of the 8 wonders of the world. It is about this mass eruption that had this domino effect of creating a tsunami, earthquakes and pyroclastic poisonous gases that wiped out a whole entire city of 16,000 people or so in a split second.
Wow.
I mean, it was devastating. Everything that could go wrong on the earth on that day happened in Pompeii.
Wow.
You know, so Armageddon, you know, has nothing on Pompeii.
Wow.
You know
did
I mean?
The people know that it was going to erupt, or was it just a surprise it came out of nowhere?
Here's the funny thing about Pompeii. You know, people lived around the volcano, and apparently it erupted before, but they I think some kind of religious spiritual kind of mythology had them worshipping the Vulcan, which is the god of fire.
Oh, I see.
So they were kind of using that in some sense as a god. So they weren't as intimidated as we would be in 2014. So I think there was something about...
But in hindsight, maybe they should have been.
Oh yeah. I mean, even in foresight.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know, it had erupted before, but obviously nothing compared. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, Pompeii was not even the first city to be destroyed. There was a smaller city closer to the volcano called, I think it was called Herculean. And that was
where's their movie?
Well, it's so small,
sequel.
Isn't it? I mean, Pompeii is a sexier name, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's got the two eyes. It's got the E at the end. I mean, you know what I mean? Pompeii.
Pompeii is in Italy, right?
Yes.
And the mountains still exist? Can people still go and see what's left of the mountain from the eruption?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the biggest tourist attractions in Europe. And in fact, most of Americans that I speak to have been there that have traveled. It's just not too far from Naples. And probably the most fascinating thing about visiting Pompeii today are the relics, the human relics that have been enshrined in volcanic ash.
Wow.
And you can see these bodies twisted and contorted in pain, or lovers embracing each other in their last moment.
It's
in
amazing.
Fact, the movie starts from that premise, these characters that are enshrined, and we dissolve them to see what their lives were before this. Yeah.
So the lava, it moved so fast that it just basically made those 16,000 people instant fossils.
Basically, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. All right, we have to take a quick break. Adewale Akinoye Akpajaji, so close, is here
Adewale,
in studio.
Adewale, man.
Come on. The film is called Pompeii. It is in theaters this Friday, February 21st. So much more to discuss with our guest, and we'll do that when we return right after this on K-Rock. Triple A in studio with us here on The Kevin Abid Show, one of the stars of Pompeii in theaters everywhere this Friday, February the 21st. This is a swords and sandals movie, as I like to call it. You are a gladiator, Adewale.
Yes, I am. I'm the champion gladiator of Pompeii.
Of course you are.
Is there ever going to come a time where they don't give you a role that requires you to be in phenomenal shape? Can't you just be the fat slug guy who sits on the couch once in a while and eats Cheetos?
You know what? I think that's about 5-6 years away. Right now. I would love it. But right now, I think while I'm in shape, I better just kill it.
Might as well. Now, we've heard horror stories of what they made you and Kit from Game of Thrones go through.
through to play gladiators in this film. Tell me a little bit about what that was like.
Well, we went to what we called Gladiator Boot Camp 4 weeks prior to the shooting of the movie. And we did basically 4 hours workout a day for 6 days a week for the 4 weeks.
Wow.
And we broke that down into 2 hours of fight training with weaponry and swords and an hour of weight training, then an hour of cardio skipping or running, and that was coupled with an 1,800-calorie brutal diet.
Wow.
So, we did a lot to bring you guys this team.
No kidding. Wow. You know they can put abs on you with special effects, like in Photoshop now, right? You know that. They don't have to have them.
You know what? Paul W.S. Anderson, the director, he said all the CGI has been spent on the mountain.
Sure.
Can't help you out with that.
He's like, sorry, Mount Vesuvius. She's got it all. You guys are going to have to work it out 4 weeks sitting there.
It's so crazy to hear what you had to go through because you were a guy. It's not like me walking in to take this role. You were a guy who walked in already in good shape, right?
I just come off of Thor 2. So actually, I had to bulk up for that because I was wearing all these prosthetics and I played Curse the Beast. So it was a different kind of fitness.
Yeah.
Here, they needed me to be lean and you know, as you'll see from the movie, we're wearing basically nothing.
Right.
And so he wanted you lean and built really like a gladiator. And so it's about stripping down the fat, popping out those muscles.
Which do you like better? Do you like the shape that you had to get in for this movie? Would you like to keep it up if you could or no?
Well, you know what?
It's pretty harsh.
I do like it. I'd probably tailor it off, you know, around, which is what I've done. You know, I still use the regime that they...
Oh, you do?
...that we set up in terms of 3 meals a day and 2 snacks and the training, but not as stringent. But, you know, I've put on about 10, 12 pounds since...
You're positively fat.
Yeah. So this is good for me, yeah, for Adam Wally. Right. But, you know, it was quite strange seeing myself so lean because, you know, I had the body of a 25-year-old, but my mind was much older. It was like, this is strange. This is weird.
Wow, now, was there any advantage? Your co-star, Kit Harington from Game of Thrones, did he have any advantage going in just because he's been on Game of Thrones for the past couple of years?
I think for both of us, this was, I mean, obviously he's fought with swords and, you know, I've done a little bit of myself with Mummy Returns and stuff. But for both of us, I think this was another level. As you'll see, when you see the movie, these fights are so intricate. And Paul, the director, he really wanted actors to perform them themselves. So this level of intensity, neither of us had done before. Yeah. So I don't think any of us were prepared.
Did you get injured?
Yeah, there were nicks and cuts. But I think because of the choreography and also the intense training, it prepared us. But, yeah, I've got what we call kiddie cuts, and he's got addy bruises. but we took them as our gladiator scars.
Adewale, you spoke so knowledgeably about the real-life history of the mountain erupting in the days of Pompeii. Mm. What do we know about the reality of what it was like to be a gladiator back then? These were real. I mean, we see it in the movies, but it actually happened that men were brought out in the middle of a coliseum to fight to the death for a patron's entertainment. Right,
they were. I mean, and Pompeii of its day would be synonymous to the Vegas today. And
right,
these gladiators were the Mike Tysons. They were the big draws. And what I knew about them is they literally bred them like cattle. And when I say that, like pedigree cattle, though, they fed them the best food. They massaged them. You know, they painted their bodies. You know, they really bred them to be these Adonises so that when they would go into that ring, that arena, the crowd would just see these specimens. And, you know, I was watching a documentary just the other day looking at the relics, and they found a relic of a gladiator next to a citizen. The citizens were quite small, about 5'3", 5'4", generally.
Mm-hmm.
Gladiator was about 6'3". And his frame was almost impeccable.
Wow.
Mm. And I think that's how they, you know, and these gladiators were bred to kill for entertainment. And
were they free men or were they forced to do it?
A gladiator or a slave is which were how they started, could earn their freedom under Roman law by a certain amount of fights they would.
Oh, okay. So you win enough fights and you can get out.
So many of the Pompeians were some form of slaves that had become free through fighting. And in this movie, Atticus has one fight left to win his freedom, and it's with none other than the man he's imprisoned with, Kit Harington. And of course, then you've got the ominous threat of Mount Vesuvius. So will he get his freedom?
Does it matter? Who
wants it with a mountain?
Does it matter?
Can you imagine how many people I killed and this is freedom?
I would be taking all of my training and seeing how fast I could run away from the volcano. That's what I would be doing at this point.
Well, if it was me frozen in that lava, you would see my statue running. That's how you see it.
Let's play this clip real quick before we have to go. This is our guest, Adewale Akinoye Akpaji, who's starring along with Kit Harington. They are both gladiators back in Pompeii, opening up this Friday.
Tonight I saw the man who killed my whole family. Perhaps the gods spared me for a reason.
The Romans took my family from me 20 years ago. At night I try and remember their faces, but I cannot. But I know one day the gods will bring me to them again.
Rut row.
That's how the ladies expect me to speak.
That is, right? great cast. The beautiful Emily Browning in this film. Carrie Ann Moss in this movie. Kiefer Sutherland, Paz Vega. I mean, it's a great cast. The movie looks outstanding. It opens up everywhere this Friday. Adewale, this was so much fun. I hope you'll come see us again sometime, sir.
You guys have been great. It's always a pleasure to come see you and enjoy the movie, guys.
Thank you. And now, a moment with Bean.
Thank you so much for listening to the world famous. What are we called?
That was a moment with Bean.
World famous.
Yep.
Yes.
It's
the simple ones that trip you up sometimes.
Definitely.
Hey, party people, I'm serious about that. What I was trying to say is thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it. Ralph Garman is off this week. Filling in is comedian extraordinaire Brad Williams. His website is bradwilliamscomedy.com. You can follow him on Twitter @FunnyBrad. His podcast is available through iTunes called About Last Night. And Brad is going to be appearing March 21st, 22nd, and 23rd at the Brea Improv. 5 shows in March. Tickets are on sale now at improv.com. Just $20. You'll love Brad. Hey, what are you doing with this recent back injury, Brad? What are you doing with all the dancing on stage that you have to do?
Not doing it right now.
Okay.
Less
all right.
Dancing?
Yeah.
Less dancing.
Yeah. I hurt my back. I did a show. Well, I didn't hurt it. Someone else hurt it. Some guy ran up to me after a show and just went, "You're really funny," and just jumped on my back.
Oh,
yeah. So I can't really dance anymore. Kind of. I'm, but don't worry.
Wow.
I'm going to physical therapy. I'm soaking in those baths that were in the movie The Wanted.
I love those.
Yeah, those are great. They heal gunshot wounds and everything.
So you're coming back strong.
I'm doing anything and everything to get to get back better than ever. So don't worry about
me.
I will be good.
Time for one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What you got?
Jeez, dwarves with back injuries, and now it's more sad news. This is not a good one, people. This just happened. Breaking news, and anyone who's ever turned a flower pot upside down on their head is now a little sadder today.
Huh.
Because the guitarist from Devo died, Bob Casale.
Beats touching sound effect tribute.
Absolutely. He was 61 years old, not very old at all, died of heart failure.
Huh.
So, no bueno there.
Now, Devo, a very popular band in the late 70s, early 80s. We played them a lot here on K-Rock. Songs like Jocko Homo and Girl You Want, but probably Whip It is probably the song that most people know. And if you're a little too young for Whip It, here's what the great Devo sounded like.
It's something about the girl that just makes my head.
That's not Whip It. That's a mentally challenged hippo.
This is Whip It.
Are you sure? Because I have this as Whip It.
Shut up when I'm talking to you!
That was the bridge.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely totally right about that.
So, RIP, Bob Casale. Happier news. Did anyone, I know it's late and you guys have to get up early, but did anyone catch the first Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon last night?
I did not,
night?
No.
Well, it was a big hit, strong ratings, and he only had just a couple celebrities stop by.
Yeah.
Like Lady Gaga, Joan Rivers, Stephen Colbert, Mike Tyson, Lindsay Lohan, Kim Kardashian, Seth Rogen,
Tina Fey, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Mariah Carey. They were all on.
That, you take Joan Rivers out of that. It's a pretty good list.
That, and that was just for one bit.
Yeah.
That
right. That's not even his guests.
No. His first guest was Will Smith and did a hilarious bit with him. Do you remember that YouTube video that came out not long ago, The Evolution of Dance?
Oh, sure.
It was like one of the biggest.
Yes, one of the most popular YouTube clips of all time.
Well, he did, with Will Smith, The Evolution of Hip-Hop Dance.
Okay.
So you see him do the Cabbage Patch, and they do the Soldier Boy, and they do like just a bunch of hip-hop dancing. They do the Kid and Play, and it was really funny. Definitely a viral clip, which you can check out online. But for all purposes, did a great job, and looks like Jimmy's here to stay, and that he's going to do well there.
And so. By the way, and then he had U2 come out and perform live on the show.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
that's a hell of an hour, right?
That's not bad.
Absolutely. So congratulations to Jimmy Fallon and everyone over there at the Tonight Show.
For the record, though, I just want to make sure people understand, he's still only the second best Jimmy in late night.
That's
Let's not
correct.
Get crazy. As much as we enjoy Mr. Fallon's work, he's no Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, that's correct. Who is? Except for Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. Jim Kimmel's had me on his show, so that makes him better. I'd be dressed up as Chucky and
selfish little bastard,
scare little kids. That was
okay,
fun.
Good.
That was a blast. Moving on, Ellen Page. Ellen Page came out this last Friday, at the Human Rights Campaign conference, Time to Thrive. That was in Las Vegas, and it was very simple. She was a speaker there. She just walked to the microphone, and she said this.
And I am here today because I am gay.
Bam.
And she got a standing ovation from that. And I know that there are some people who are like, why are you applauding somebody because they're gay? And I think what you're applauding is that she has made a difficult, brave choice that not only will improve her life, but will improve the life, hopefully, of other gay people who are still in the closet, who now may have the courage to come out and live more honestly.
Sure. And that's why you applaud it, and to improve her relationships and everything around. And but I've said before that it's sort of refreshing that when she did come out, you didn't hear a lot about it.
It wasn't a massive story.
No, I mean the last time an Ellen came out, it was national news.
Yeah,
it was,
right.
It was 15 years ago. A lot of things have changed. And
right.
I mean, she is a big star, obviously, with films like Juno and Inception, and I'm very happy for her. But kind of sad for me because I know it seems unlikely.
I really thought if I had a shot. You didn't have
she
a
was
shot.
on my wish list.
Nope.
I do love that little Canadian.
You were on her wish list too. Wish list for a restraining order. Absolutely. Now, when you go to the White House, when you meet the president, the leader of the free world.
Mm-hmm.
You dress up, right?
I would even.
You wear...
And I don't like dressing up.
Yeah, Kevin,
but I would, sure.
You would at least put on long pants.
Whatever they told me to wear, I'd wear.
Sure.
Yeah.
Suit, whatever. Well, Bradley Cooper recently met President Obama, and he revealed in an interview that he went commando.
All right.
Yeah.
Were his pants real tight?
Actually, he said yes, they were.
All right.
I like how he throws that in. He knows women are listening. He's like, by the way, it was right there. So,
balls.
We're right next to Obama. Right there.
I know your nuts hurt.
So, yep, that's what Bradley Cooper did. He went, I'm going to go see the president. No underwear necessary.
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight.
Thank you, President Johnson. Do you want extra sausage?
What's happening?
I don't know what that even where that even came from.
Then I guess you won't be needing this sausage.
Oh, let's just get the celebrity birthdays. And end it. Just end it. Celebrity birthdays, everyone. John Travolta is 60 years old today. Vanna White, game show hostess, is 57. Still looking good. Matt Dillon is 50 years old. Dr. Dre, legendary rapper, headphone inventor. He invented those.
Host of Love Line.
Pretty sure.
Has a show on HLN.
Right. HLN, right? He's
does everything.
The Teen Moms. All of them, yeah.
All of them. He's 49 years old today. Molly Ringwald is 46. Regina Spektor is 34. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter @FunnyBrad. Thank you guys for having me, and I pitter-patter on the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Brad. Always great to have you in. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to take your impressions, if you're a good impressionist. We're going to take your calls tomorrow.
Is that because we're not?
Well, we're not great.
No one's beating my Shakira.
We're not great. That's
no
true.
One.
Well, we'll have it standing by. We'll see.
No one could top.
Not
going to
have it. Bean is afraid that he can no longer be friends with Psycho Mike. We'll tell you why tomorrow.
Oh. Well, what I'm afraid has happened is we are no longer friends already. That's the message that I'm receiving, and I want to get Mike on the air and confront him and find out. Because a lot of times, you know, a press release doesn't come out when you're not friends. You just stop hearing from people that used to be your friends.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening with Mike and me, and it kind of makes me sad.
And I'm on Mike's side on this. I think he's doing the right thing.
Sure. How dare you?
Comedian Jeff Garland will be in the studio with us. And we've got Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.